Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We are live. It is the second day of February 2009. We'll be here for the next 4 hours. Very important broadcast lined up for you today. Congressman Dan Hamburg will be joining us. He's our only guest today, coming up in the third hour, because, you know, he wrote some articles for the San Francisco Chronicle and other publications about the martial law program that Bush was setting up, and he warned that it would probably be passed on to the next president. He, of course, is a former Democratic congressman. So I wanted to get his take on the new concentration camp legislation introduced in the House to build publicly concentration camps around the United States, internment camps. People then end up emailing me going, these are not death camps. You know, a concentration camp is a mass holding facility. A death camp is another thing, but concentration camps almost always turn into death camps. The British invented them 250 plus years ago in use against the Scots. And then it was exported around the world, including in the Revolutionary War here in the United States. And President Andrew Jackson's mother and brother died in a British concentration camp. So that is coming up. We'll get back into that very important issue and cover where that bill is right now as the co-sponsors stack up and pile up on it. What a dope. That's the headline in the News of the World, attacking the gold medal, eight-time gold medal winner Michael Phelps, caught with cannabis pipe. And everybody's bashing him, and they're saying he's going to lose his endorsements. And my only answer is, so what? I mean, this is such a sick joke. You can have the CIA caught shipping in heroin and cocaine. They never get in trouble. I mean, the police actually catch the airplanes landing, or they crash filled with it, or, you know, constantly the police are caught dealing drugs. But that's no big deal. Let's just forget about that. But then meanwhile, more than half the population admittedly has smoked or is smoking cannabis. Upwards of 90% of youth say they've tried cannabis. I've smoked marijuana. I don't like it. I don't smoke it. But I've smoked my fair share of it. I mean, does that mean I'm discredited? Marijuana doesn't kill brain cells. Alcohol does. Alcohol is much worse in every study than marijuana. But it's okay if a sports person smokes, a pipe or smokes cigarettes, which kill hundreds and hundreds, was over 300,000 people a day. And it's okay if they drink, which kills around 400,000 a year, if you count all the alcohol-related diseases and car wrecks. That's okay. Marijuana kills nobody. And George Washington smoked it. Yes, that's in the biographies about him. So again, George Washington wasn't fit to lead this country, and I guess he can't have our endorsement either because he smoked Mary Jane. Now, I got a lot of serious and important news to get to, but I'm opening the show up with this today because I'm sick of it. 87% of illegal drug users only use marijuana. They don't use anything else. In fact, I know a lot of pot smokers, and they don't use anything. They don't even drink, but they smoke marijuana. Now, obviously, anything can be abused. I know potheads who are just worthless. I won't hire people who are potheads because, you know, they're lazy and they'll smoke it at work. And if I catch people smoking pot or, you know, coming to work stone, they're fired. But what somebody does in their own home is their own business. And, you know, this guy, a lot of athletes, Schwarzenegger, he's the governor of California. I don't like him for his political stances of gun control and things like that. But, I mean, he's on film in Pumping Iron smoking pot after he wins the championship. And there's a lot of NFL people I've talked to who after a game will smoke it because they're all stressed out. They're all, you know, mentally fired up. It's a way for them to come down after they've been all stressed out. And there's hundreds and hundreds of medical uses for marijuana. All the major studies show it's much better for you than Valium or something for people that are or people who have glaucoma or folks who can't eat because they're on chemo, on and on again. But the main reason I'm against what's happening here is 87% of drug users only use marijuana. You decriminalize that, the drug war ends. It fails. It dies. This excuse to have SWAT teams raiding everybody and checkpoints and searching our kids at school, turning America into a giant gulag. So the media loves attacking this guy, trying to tear him down so they can prop up their phony, stinking drug war. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The headline reads, "What a dope." 14-time Olympic gold medal winner Michael Phelps caught with cannabis pipe. Some little sneaky person took a photo of him at a party smoking pot. This is the astonishing picture which could destroy the career of the greatest competitor in Olympic history. In our exclusive photo, Michael Phelps, who won a record 8 straight gold medals for swimming at the Beijing Games last summer, draws from a bong. And they just love it. They run all these ad council commercials when they're not recruiting new youth brigades for the new President Obama, equating marijuana with Al-Qaeda and terrorism. Because there are millions of people that have gone to prison, tens of millions over the decades, and served hard prison sentences for marijuana. They need to keep those slaves. It's just legalized slavery. That's all it is. And so they love demonizing this guy. Plus, people love tearing down a champion. They love seeing somebody fail or get in trouble because it makes them feel better about themselves and their lives. Instead of being better competitors or better business people or better humanitarians, they just sit around being a critic. What did Teddy Roosevelt say about that? It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who was actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." Absolutely. And there's another facet to this story, the reason I opened the show with it today. That is that this is the top story in the country today. Not that we're going into depression, not that government corruption is at every level, not that there are at least 10 bills introduced that will effectively end the Second Amendment and ban most firearms and register and license all gun owners federally. No discussion of that in the media because it's wildly unpopular. Close to 70% are against any new gun control, victim disarmament legislation. The more they go after our guns, the bigger the gun culture grows as we rediscover liberty, as we rediscover the fount of liberty, an armed population, that final insurance policy against corruption and tyranny. Is it national news that they're building FEMA camps everywhere? Yeah, that's here and there in the papers. The legislation's introduced to publicly merge them and federalize your local police under the FEMA camps with regular army on the streets. See, we should be hearing about that, not about 8-time gold medal winner at one Olympic Games, Michael Phelps. So I'm done talking about that, but later in the week, I think I'm going to get Mark Stepnoski, the former Cowboys center, who's a big marijuana advocate, on to talk about this because he says he smoked it while playing football and that it helped him. But we'll certainly discuss all of that. I mean, you look at this hypocritical, drugged-out population. Over 100 million prescriptions for serotonin reuptake inhibitors in the year 2008 alone, according to the Associated Press. 100 million. Did I say a million prescriptions? Over 100 million prescriptions written for that here in the United States alone. It eats holes in your brain. It's highly toxic. It's hallucinogenic. It puts you in a dreamlike state. It's toxic, but that's okay. And now in the last 2 months, the major drug makers of both the speed drugs, like the Ritalin class, and the serotonin reuptake inhibitor psychotropics, they've come out and said this should be legalized for everybody and be over the counter. We covered that a few weeks ago. So they want to make stuff that eats holes in your brains and causes massive suicide, psychotic breaks, both the speed drugs and the Prozac class drugs have now had to put messages on their inserts, admitting it can cause hallucinations, admitting it causes psychotic breaks, both these classes of drugs. what is it, 40-something million are on the speed drugs. So they want to make that over the counter. They want to have the entire population on that. But, oh, my gosh, somebody smokes weed that George Washington smoked. And, man, it is over. We got to freak out and run around like chickens with our heads cut off talking about how evil marijuana is. Talk about a red herring. Talk about a distraction. Talk about a diversion. It's just unbelievable. So I'm done discussing that. If you want to call in, we're opening the phones up later in the hour. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Okay, now let me get into the stack of important news that we're going to go through in detail today. Worst January on record for stocks. This out of the Wall Street Journal. Stocks wrapped up their worst January on record with a final plunge on Friday. Gold went up to $9.29 an ounce. GM to use bailout money to invest in Brazil. Bank of America is using the bailout money for massive cash bonuses to their executives and huge multi-million dollar parties, including the Super Bowl. So they're going to use the bailout money to move offshore with our jobs. You're paying for it. I'm paying for it. More economists say crisis is worse than Great Depression. I want to go over some of their quotes. GOP leaders doubt stimulus bill will pass the Senate. They're saying it's $255,000 per job that they're claiming this is going to create. Why not just give a million people $255,000 instead of, and these will be federal jobs or federally controlled jobs that they'll then use to basically go out and tax the rest of us into oblivion. GOP leaders doubt stimulus bill will pass the Senate. I told you this was coming. Now, I'm going to admit something. I'm so busy that a week and a half ago, when he signed these executive orders saying that they were going to abolish Guantanamo Bay, that all I did was read the boil down of the executive orders at whitehouse.gov. The LA Times actually read all the executive orders. And then last night I did go read them myself. I mean, I'm not omnipresent. I can't keep track of all this. But I noticed in the summary it said they would decide what to do in a year with Guantanamo. So that left it open to leave it open. And I noticed that's what the Army had been saying 2 years ago. So that was really the Bush policy continued. And then they said they were going to continually hold the people without charges indefinitely. So it's the same thing. They're just kind of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, or it's a shell game. But in the bill, it's in the executive order itself, it says Obama preserves renditions as counterterrorism tools. So the secret kidnapping of U.S. citizens, foreigners, you name it, grabbing people off the street, it's all continuing. So I sat there last night for an hour and a half reading the executive orders. We're going to go over those today. You can go to prisonplanet.com. We have a link to a good boil-down story from Raw Story that has a link to the executive orders in it if you want to go read the executive orders for yourself. The January 22nd executive order, review and disposition of individuals detained at Guantanamo Bay Naval Base, and closure of detention facilities, but they're just opening new ones and calling them something else. Review of detention policy options, ensuring lawful interrogation. So it just says, well, we don't call it torture. We call it harsh interrogation. So the torture continues. And so that's the executive order. You can go read that for yourself. So there you have it. Obama preserves rendition 2 days after taking office, and it took the media a week and a half to figure this out, myself included. I just read the summary and said, folks, it's the same deal. But it was worse than I was saying, as usual. So, I had arguments this weekend. I went out to an event for some networking. I was invited out to it, and my way was paid. So I went to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I figured it would be good to network with folks and see how many of the Hollywood folks I didn't know were aware of the work we're doing. And we ran into quite a few prominent people that are certainly aware of the New World Order. That was interesting. If I have time today, I'll get into some of what happened there and just the soullessness of Las Vegas. I haven't been in that place in 10 years. People kept asking me, are you gambling? No, I don't gamble. I don't believe in gambling. I don't like gambling. Didn't do any of that. I was there for the Ultimate Fighting Champion. Hung out with the championship. I hung out with Dana White, the founder and president. He was a really nice guy. I didn't know that guy was a street fighter and then a boxer himself. I mean, since when do you have a 29-year-old owner of a massive sport that he, you know, took international, who himself, it was wild. Absolutely wild. And let me tell you, the anti-New World Order sentiment throughout the UFC is just massive. That's why I went. Joe Rogan said, oh, yeah, a bunch of fighters are fans of your show and aware of what you're doing. And you got to go. You got to go. For years, he kept saying, got to go. You got to go. So he basically paid my way out there. Really nice. Got me a ticket right up there near the front row. And I got to watch the gladiatorial games. People are always telling me, take off, you know, go out and take some time. Well, I really wasn't taking time off. I'm exhausted, actually. I flew in from Las Vegas last night. And later in the week, if not today, I'll break down. Just I walked into the MGM Grand, and it was like everybody had their souls sucked out of them, people that were actually there for the casino. And then the next day, all the UFC champions showed up. They were a different crowd. They were all in shape and had crazed looks in their eyes. But certainly was Babylon. It was interesting, but I don't think I'll be going back. I have too much important work to do here. But I met Eddie Bravo, who's a huge fan of the show. What a nice guy. The jiu-jitsu guru of the 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. That was interesting. And I forget his name. He was the huge black guy who's in Green Mile and Daredevil and all those movies, a former NFL player. Ran into a lot of folks. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back to get into all the rest of the news. Stay with us. We are back live, going straight into the news. A news summary, then I'll break more of it down in detail. Defense Department announces Civilian Expeditionary Force. And this is from the Department of Defense's own website. It's Department of Defense Directive 1404.10 PDF. Steve Watson wrote an article about it at Infowars.net. And this is Obama's civilian domestic military. So we'll be going over that today. Another bill has been introduced, text of H.R. 748, to establish and operate a National Center for Campus Public Safety, federalizing college campuses that take federal money. Which ones don't? I don't think of any out there except a few private colleges. And to federalize the police that are on campuses and the security guards. I mean, just total federalization of everything. Meanwhile, Daschle tells Senate panel in letter he regrets tax errors. I mean, who that Obama is appointing to any position either doesn't pay taxes or had to pay back taxes once they got caught or lied on their taxes? You know, this guy with payola, people giving him free limos and drivers for a year, things like that. It's just big city machine, corrupt people. I mean, look at Blagojevich. Look at Rahm Emanuel. Look at what's going on with the guy they were going to have, Bill Richardson, the governor, was going to be their commerce secretary, but, you know, he had all these questionable donations and things. Look at Timothy Geithner, who just said, I'm not going to pay taxes, and then once they were going to appoint him, he did. We'll get into that. Meanwhile, Netanyahu, one of the minority leaders in Israel, says Iran will not get hands on nukes one way or the other. They're going to go after Iran. Judicial Watch files lawsuit challenging Hillary Clinton appointment on behalf of State Department Foreign Service officers. Yeah, a month ago, before Obama even officially got into office, we pointed out and read the subsection of the Constitution where it says that if somebody previously sat in the Senate, that they, during the same term, can't leave the Senate and go into the executive if they were involved in raising the salary, if they voted either to raise it or not to raise it, and she did vote to raise it, in the executive. You can't go from the legislative if you just voted for a pay raise to your own office in the executive. She did do that. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal. Violates federal law. Violates Constitution. They just don't care. So now Judicial Watch has filed that. Judicial Watch, the public interest group that investigates and prosecutes government corruption, announced today, and we're going to get them on, by the way, that it has filed a lawsuit against newly sworn in Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton on behalf of U.S. Foreign Service Officer, State Department employee David C. Rodimel. And it goes on to talk about how it's illegal. Under the emoluments and ineligibility clause of the U.S. Constitution, no member of Congress can be appointed to a civilian position within the U.S. government if the emoluments of the position, such as the salary or benefits paid to whatever occupants in the office, increase during the term for which the senator or representative was elected. It's very simple. Corruption rule. But, I mean, they don't care. Hillary goes to Bilderberg. Bill Clinton goes to Bilderberg. Governor Rick Perry goes to Bilderberg. It's a felony under the Logan Act, period. You don't go to an international private policy setting board where they admit they're setting global policy while you're in office. You don't go and do that and set policy, but they don't care. Rick Perry made an announcement 5-6 years ago. They were still saying Bilderberg Group didn't exist. The New York Times attacked me saying I was crazy. It didn't exist. Now Rick Perry, 2 years ago, he goes to Bilderberg and tells the Dallas Morning News before he goes. So it's all part of just flaunting corruption in our face. A great article by Patrick Wood. Obama Trilateral Commission Endgame. And he goes through how all of these people that call for world government, world taxes, that are part of the Trilateral Commission, that have written and called for a North American Union, and for a new international bank to control the United States, which they're now proposing as the bailout too. And terrorizing the public. If you don't support this bailout two coming up in a month, in the next few weeks to a month, then it'll be a depression. It'll be a depression. But notice they said, give us the banker bailout bill that gave them total immunity and secrecy and unlimited funds. Trillions and trillions missing. Did it fix things? No, because it's by design. They're just looting all the cash before they sink the ship. So Obama Trilateral Commission endgame, another story here. Heaviest snow in 20 years brings large parts of Britain to a halt. It's snowing in the Middle East in areas where it's desert. Meanwhile, volcanoes erupt near Tokyo, raining ash down on the city, and scientists see giant holes in glacier in Alaska as well. We'll tell you about those volcanoes when we get back. And a story saying you shouldn't be able to have more than 2 children. Again, that's all part of the eugenics agenda. We'll be going over a lot more. And the fairness doctrine to shut down free speech on talk radio. They're trying to move ahead with that as well. It's in the mainstream news. Jam-packed transmission. Stay with us. Phone calls coming up here in just a few minutes at 1-800-259-9231. By the way, this is Mars Base to Minnesota. This call list I've got here on my computer screen is the new one, right? Good, thank you. Didn't see a date on it. That's right, we're down here in Austin, Texas, and the main mothership is up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But we are growing the InfoWars Command Center and have some big announcements coming up in the next week, week and a half. I'm just going to leave it at that. Big announcements coming up. Big revolutionary developments with this radio show and more. So stay tuned for that in the next week, week and a half. I might even announce it the next few days, but I'm nailing down a few other things before we do that. By the way, last week we got a call from Professor Griff of Public Enemy, and it was the day I was leaving town, and he was unable to come on that day. But then when I got back this morning, I'm told he really wants to come on sooner rather than later. He may even be on today. We're calling him right now, but regardless, he'll be on this week. Very, very excited about that. The hip-hop community reaching out to us with KRS-One last week, and now Professor Griff, hopefully to be on the show. And they want to come on and talk about Barack Obama. They see right through him. And they also understand that this needs to be a non-racial issue. because they understand how the New World Order is operating. They hope that people won't criticize Obama because of political correctness, not wanting to criticize a black guy. And, of course, Professor Griffin, KRS-One, are pointing out, hey, this guy's bought and paid for by the very same people. Well, of course he is. I mean, he said he's getting rid of Guantanamo, and you read the stinking executive order, and he says he's continuing all of it. They're just going to open new camps and then give it new names. This is so sick and so deceptive. Look, even if a Barack Obama is the most wonderful person since sliced bread, in my new film, The Obama Deception, we're making right now, I say, hey, probably a great guy. The point is, he's not the president. George Bush wasn't the president. Since they killed Kennedy, the military-industrial complex has had presidents as front men. And then now he's appointing all these top New World Order people from the Bush administration, the former Clinton administration. It's just incredible. By the way, Jimmy Carter came out and said that 9/11 should be investigated as a cover-up and that we don't know exactly what the truth is that happened with that. So that's good for Jimmy Carter. That story is up on prisonplanet.com right now as well. Now, in other news, before I go back to, well, I haven't gone back, I haven't gone to your phone calls yet. Before I do that, I wanted to run through some other news reports that we have here in front of us. Like, Defense Department announces civilian expeditionary workforce. And, of course, the bill I mentioned about the feds taking over the colleges with their own security force. I also have the Bloomberg report I mentioned. Daschle tells Senate panel in letter he regrets tax errors. But before I get into all of that in more detail, I want to take your phone calls. Let's go ahead and go to the calls. Let's talk to Aaron in Minnesota. You're on the air, Aaron.
Hey, Alex. It's nice to finally talk to you. I actually just wanted a question about a neurologist that you spoke with on your show a couple weeks ago and how I might be able to get a hold of him.
Dr. Russell Blaylock?
I'm not totally sure, but that might be it.
I think your phone's ringing.
No, that's not mine. I just wanted to say, keep up the good work. How would I end up getting a hold of him?
Okay, I appreciate your call. I'm going to let you go because we got some crossfeed on your line. Okay, when you hear a guest on the show, you Google their name. The day they're on the show, if they have a website, we link to it on Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. And I believe from memory, his website is his name, Dr. Russell Blaylock. So you just Google Dr. Russell Blaylock, and you can also just Google that name, and the audio and video files are all over the internet. So that's how you find it. Randy in Michigan, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. I just wanted to say, I call in obviously often. It's a very good show. It's always bothered me on the Olympic topic. And, oh, yeah, by the way, it's Michael Clark Duncan is the name of the guy on Green Mile.
Okay.
I Googled it. I have Google right here. So I was just going to say, first, it's easy for an ethnic group to jump on the bandwagon that, you know, a guy is a great speaker and, you know, that he speaks for us, you know, but it's just that, like, what about what's going to happen? Or it shows that your show's in touch with celebrities, you know, like when you're going to have Professor Griff on here. That's cool that he'll shine light, like, on the other side. You know, he's going against.
Well, let's get clear. Crime. Let's get clear. It was white people that put Barack Obama in office. So I think if we say, oh, look, it's easy for the black folks to get on the bandwagon, the majority of the country who voted got on the bandwagon with Barack Obama. Just like after 8 years of Bill Clinton, people got on the bandwagon for George Bush thinking he would change it. We've got to make sure in 4 to 8 years people don't get on the bandwagon when it's some, you know, Republican white guy or some Republican black guy. Again, this is all just window dressing. I mean, there are plenty of real black leaders that they could have, you know, the people could have tried to run for president that would have done a great job and fought corruption. There's plenty of great white leaders. There's pretty, you know, great Asian leaders. I don't care, but you're right. The issue is they try to make it all about race when if we're really being diverse here and we need to move past that. But it's going to end bad. It's going to end very, very sad because Obama is betraying his base. They're not going to want to admit to themselves they're being conned until things get really, really bad. And in the end, it's going to get nasty. And then when people start criticizing Obama, the media is going to try to make it a racial issue to get everybody fighting with each other. They want divide and conquer. The mainstream media, the corporate controllers, act like they want us all living in peace. But really, all they do is point out people's tiny differences to get us to fight with each other. You know, they claim it's all liberal diversity and multiculturalism, but really all they're doing is bringing it up over and over and over again when most people aren't into it, don't care, and aren't thinking about it. The media is always there making everything a racial issue, always there injecting it. And that's what Barack Obama's going to end up doing because now it's all about his dad being black. It's all about that instead and how great it is it's our first black president instead of having a discussion about what are his policies. What is he going to do? You know, he's talking about change, and it's change, all right. It's kicking the New World Order agenda in high gear. George Bush just passed the baton to him. And because he doesn't come off like a complete demon, I mean, Bush just oozes evil, oozes corruption, oozes funkiness and bumbling, stuttering, whereas Obama's slick. Well, I'm sorry, folks, the devil's slick, like KRS-One said here on the air. The road to hell is wide and paved and smooth and looks good. Anything else?
Oh, yeah, I had a question that would be good for all the viewers. I was just wondering if I'm able actually to, like, purchase a high-quality archive of, say, Today's Show, because I know I can go on YouTube and get, when you have celebrity interviews, those are usually archived, you know, right, without the commercials. But could I buy this Today's whole show so that I, because I want my friend to hear the show today, and I can't record it because it's not like TiVo or anything.
Well, sir, do you have a computer?
Yes, I do.
We have a free archive that's posted in, you know, 34-bit or whatever it is. It sounds great. At InfoWars.com, posted every day.
Yeah, and I do a lot with audio, so that's I could definitely burn that to a CD. I just convert the sample rate to 44.1 or whatever. And okay, I will definitely do that. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, for some reason, and it may be Disinfo or COINTELPRO, or it may be original COINTELPRO, and then lots of little idiots repeating it. They just go on the message board in the comment sections of InfoWars and Prison Planet all day and post, why is this show for charge money? Why is the show not free? Why is it 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 not free? If you're listening on AM or FM dial, it's free. If you're listening on Global Shortwave, it's free. If you're listening to the archives, it's free. If you're listening to the streams, it's free. We do, for members at PrisonPlanet.tv, have it in, you know, high-quality video of my films and the live TV show every day because we have to charge for that. I mean, do you have any idea how much it costs to serve video out? Just serving free audio out a month. I don't want to go over this again, but I will. Just serving the 125,000 people a day that subscribe to the free podcast. And it's kind of getting scary because it grows by like 4,000 or 5,000 a week. And we've only been doing podcasting for like a year. And as it grows, people saving it on their MP3 devices, their iPhones, everything, that's costing us about $5,500-$6,000 a month just to do that. The streams are costing us another $3,000 or $4,000. It's costing us a lot of money to give this out for free. And then I get accused of it not being free when the website looks like a Christmas tree of glowing links to the free show. But because we offer, what, a 64-bit for members just to give them a little something? You know, they want to listen to it on their surround sound stereo? Oh, how dare you. Look, that's an establishment intimidation tactic that we here in the alternative media aren't supposed to grow, that we aren't supposed to reach out and affect change, that we aren't supposed to be able to sell books and videos and reach more people and be a movement. Of course we've got to fund ourselves. The enemy uses our tax money to enslave us. We're a show, you know, we're not the IRS. We don't come take your money or take your house or squeeze things out of you to then force political ideas down your throat. We're here. We're here on the air. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a radio talk show host. And I just hope people will support us because we are growing exponentially. And with it, imagine the economy's imploding. Everything we said is coming true about the banks engineering, the subprime crash and all of this. They're now announcing world government and every major newspaper saying it's great and that a private central bank will run everything and it's the solution. We told you they would do that a decade ago. 12, 13 years ago. I mean, this has been in the Trilateral Commission document since the 70s. But since I've been on air, I've been covering this. And now it's all coming true. What do you think's happening to our numbers? It is an explosion. An explosion. But it's an explosion to people that don't have a thin nickel. And so that's why you hear me in here saying support us, buy the books, buy the videos, buy the materials. Because those of you that do have money, because not that it's just great films and books, because we are literally like Atlas trying to pick the planet up here. Let's go to another call here. Tony in Illinois. Tony, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Greeting from a Chicago prison grid there, buddy. How you doing?
Good, sir. Yeah, you're up there with the mafia running things. How do you like it?
Oh, I'm from southeast Missouri, and I hate it. Believe you me, I despise it. It's sickening. But, I want to thank you for the phone internet access thing that you set up on your website. Another free thing. You know, I just want to thank you for my end. I don't have a fancy iPhone or anything, but I can use it with my little crappy phone and hit the website. So I just want to give you a quick thanks on that for sure.
That cost us $2,000 a month. Yeah. Free number to call.
Yeah, you know, and I sit and I listen to your show on the radio or on my phone most of the time. You're on my Fave 5. It's on my T-Mobile there, Alex. But to get serious for a second, you know, you were talking about the programming and the bandwagon stuff. As an unfortunate Bush bandwagon jumper after 8 years of Clinton, I know exactly what you're talking about. I voted for that imp because he's going to tap Alaska and shrink government. Obviously, that didn't happen. And here we are now with the even worse case. I mean, have you watched CNN, Fox, MSNBC lately, Alex?
Because I was out of town, I tend to just hang out in my hotel room. Especially where I was, I just hung out in the hotel room unless I was hanging out with my friends, and I watched a ton of Bloomberg, CNN, Fox. There's some new CNN show. I meant to write down his name. It's a black guy. It's like a comedy show, and he was saying, oh, Blagojevich, corruption's okay. All politics are corrupt. That's just the way it is. And then he went out on the street and was interviewing people in Chicago, and they were going, yeah, corruption's just how you do things. Folks, corruption means the government comes and steals your house or takes your guns. Corruption isn't cute or funny. So that's how far our country's gone, is they've got a new CNN show on where he's sitting there with a studio audience clapping and yelling when he says, hey, all politicians are corrupt. That's the way you get things done. Yeah, raping the country. That's how you get things done.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, and I, living up there, everybody, you know, the people from Chicago are shrugging their shoulders about what's the surprise, what's the shock that this guy's dirty, you know.
See, we've been conditioned to accept corruption. And once you get to the point of being convinced to accept corruption, you're buffaloed. People are capitulating to corruption.
Yeah. I'm in an improv class. I study improv up Second City. I got a former Chicago cop in my class. He said the moment that Jody Weiss or whatever his scumbag name is came in, he was gone. He said there's no way I was going to work for an out-of-towner who was on the anti-domestic terrorism task force coming into my city trying to tell us how to run my city. He took his pension and left, like a lot of other cops. So unfortunately, our good cops in Chicago are dwindling fast. We're in big trouble, Alex. And, brother, it's thanks to you, your free phone hookup that I can do, the free webcast, all that. People are turning around in my small circle of ability to affect change. Hey, thanks for all the free stuff, and I'm getting my subscription on Friday, even though I just got fired from my job.
Oh, man.
A week ago. Well, I worked for Sears, and they shut down a big call center. You know, so, hey, everybody, Barack, I told them all sitting there waiting for our paperwork. I'm like, hey, where's your magic Barack now? Where's your magic Barack now? And they're all looking at me like I'm insane. I'm like, y'all getting fired, man. Where's Magic Man at to save the day? He ain't coming.
I hear you, my friend. Thank you for the call. After I take some more calls, I'm going to get into the heaviest snow in 20 years brings large parts of Britain to a halt. And all over the world, some of the coldest temperatures, depending on which area of the world, you know, in some areas of Alaska, it's the coldest ever. In some areas of Minnesota, the coldest ever. Some areas of New York, they're reporting the coldest ever recorded. Some areas of the Middle East, the coldest ever reported. Record snowfall, and Al Gore testifies to Congress, this is because of global warming. Because of global warming. And that movie, The Day After Tomorrow, shows that global warming causes massive freezing. See, they knew the earth was going to cool. They know the cycles we're in. They knew the sun was in a 12-year sun cycle, and then as soon as it ended that cycle, it was going to get cold. They didn't know how cold. It's been now cooling down for a year and a half. Suddenly, the ice caps of Mars are getting bigger. Suddenly, the moons of different planets like Saturn and Jupiter and Uranus and others that had liquid sea moons, they've frozen again. They're not liquid seas of oxygen. They're methane and other things. The point is that all over the solar system, things were melting. The sun, it's warm. It's in the sky. It's a standard yellow star. We orbit it. It gives us life. It is not the carbon dioxide. In fact, I was watching CNN and I saw a waste management ad going, waste management plants trees. Trees clean the air of the toxic waste, carbon dioxide. They don't clean it. They breathe it. If you notice, PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com are down right now. They've been down about 30 minutes. Another reason we need more support. I cannot afford more CDNs. It gets into technical issues, but we're working on it, doing what we can here. That's why we have TruthNews.us, InfoWars.net, PrisonPlanet.tv that are on separate servers. So if one site goes down, you can get a lot of the same news and information. Every site has a little bit different info every day, but it always has the base info posted at those sites. So truthnews.us, infowars.net, prisonplanet.tv. And you can go to those sites and get that. And we're trying to expand, get more IT people, consultants in here dealing with it we're getting a lot of visitors, millions, folks, and it's out of control. Absolutely out of control. Okay, let's get into the global warming news. Now that the Earth is cooling because the sun is going through a dimming cycle, they are switching the name to climate change. Now, how ridiculous is that? We have four seasons. We have autumn. We have winter. We have spring. We have summer. We orbit the sun. The Earth is always changing. And one volcano, there's three different classes of volcanoes, but the big gaseous volcanoes that explode and put a lot of dust and gas into the air, like Mount St. Helens, put out more pollution, and this is mainstream science, you can pull up the numbers, than all of human activity in the previous 100 years before it. One big volcano blowing, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are scores of active volcanoes around the planet. Sometimes there's 100 plus, sometimes there's only 20 or 30, you know, that are erupting or putting out ash or gas or lava flows. You can go pull up the science on those. You can go read what the volcanologists have to say, what the geologists have to say, and there's a lot of volcanic activity going on around the world right now. There's a mega volcano that covers the area of three states surrounding Yellowstone. It's right in the middle of it. Parts of Yellowstone are raising several feet a year. Other parts are lowering. Suddenly the geysers are going crazy. Suddenly Old Faithful is you know, going off more often and shooting a lot higher in the air, and they're concerned. The last time that sucker blew up, volcanologists, geologists, seismologists say that it devastated large parts of the United States, dimmed the earth for years, and made temperatures drop as much as 10 degrees. One large explosive volcano can make the temperature of the earth go down as much as 5 degrees in 1 year. Meanwhile, they want to carbon tax everything. How much carbon does a volcano put out? And before I get into the volcanoes, I saw a piece. I saw an ad, and everything on CNN, Fox, Brita commercials saying don't drink bottled water because it hurts the earth, use a Brita. Well, the problem is a Brita charcoal filter only cuts out some of the bad taste. It's better than drinking straight tap water, but the bad stuff, the fluoride, the mercury, the arsenic, the chlorine, Again, you're drinking something fish can't live in. Fish die in hours. You throw fish in a bucket of tap water, they die. Well, why are you drinking it? But side issue. They are now saying that they are going to put taxes on basically all human activity. And in this ad I saw for waste management, it talked about how their trash companies paying for the environment and paying to plant trees that clean the earth of the toxic waste carbon dioxide. Folks, carbon dioxide, oxygen, carbon dioxide, water, and the sun are the four components of the carbon cycle in life on this planet. We're carbon-based life forms. This is a tax on breathing. We'll get into it when we get back in the volcanoes.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live now into hour number two on this live February 2nd, 2009 edition. More of your phone calls coming up in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231. I'm going to get into Obama and more broken promises, this time still allowing secret CIA and Defense Department kidnapping of American citizens and foreigners to be taken to torture camps. It's all lies that they're getting rid of these camps. The only thing they're doing is talking about shutting down one of hundreds they have, Guantanamo Bay. If you read the legalese in the executive order, that's now even in the LA Times, the liberal site Raw Stories having to admit it with horror. Yes, you're being betrayed. Will you be as stupid as Bush supporters who were in the little psychological game of, well, Democrats are attacking Bush, so no matter what he does, we got to stick with him. Well, Republicans are attacking Obama. No matter what he does, we got to stick with him. They all work for the same people. It's a parlor trick. So that's coming up as well. And we have Congressman Hamburg joining us to get into the FEMA camp legislation next hour. Okay, so we have the heaviest snow in 20 years in large parts of Britain grind to a halt. Airports are shut down. Roads are shut down. The heaviest snowfall in 20 years has closed thousands of schools and caused transport chaos up the eastern side of Britain, with London and the surrounding areas the hardest hit. 6 million bus passengers were left in the lurch as all Londoners' bus service were halted because of dangerous driving conditions, and every tube line except the Victoria line was at least partially suspended. Many mainline commuter rail services were also canceled or seriously delayed, and flights in London airports were decimated. With both of Heathrow's runways shut, Luton and London City closed, and Gatwick and Stansted flights subject to delays and short-notice cancellations. Millions of commuters stayed at home rather than brave the conditions, as an estimated 1 in 5 people either worked from home or took the day off, costing industry hundreds of millions of pounds. So, and the Middle East is snowing in Asia, tropical areas are snowing. And if you go back in their histories, it snows every 100 years or so in these places, the Middle East and areas in Asia. But it does it every time sunspot activity is being recorded. They've been studying the sun for hundreds of years. It's one of the few things that's been studied scientifically for around 300 years closely with telescopes, and they've had major universities marking down the number of sunspots for over 300 years. They have never seen the sun clear with zero sunspots this long. What is a sunspot? A giant sun flare blasting out from the sun. It's and then the last 100 years with instruments studying it, they know that the sun is putting off more radiation, more heat, more X-rays, gamma rays, ultraviolet, the whole spectrum. And it's cooled down. And so now Mars is getting a bigger ice cap. Now, dovetail that with volcanoes, which they know a major gaseous explosion from a volcano puts out more than all human activity in our modern history. Is the government going to ban volcanoes because they change the climate? Climate change. We've got to stop climate change. It's got to be forever springtime or summer. We've got to stop winter. I think if they told the public winter was unnatural or summer was unnatural, they'd believe it. It was cold. Now it's hot. We're in crisis. Oh, my gosh. It's all over. What are we going to do? We're on a giant planet hurtling through galactic space. Stop being so stupid. Volcano erupts near Tokyo, raining ash down on city. Oh, no, carbon. It'll kill everyone. A volcano erupted near Tokyo early Monday, spewing a plume of smoke more than a mile or 1.6 kilometers high and raining ash down on parts of the city. There were no immediate reports of injuries or damage. Mount Asama, about 90 miles northeast of Tokyo, erupted at 1:51 a.m. GMT Monday, according to Japan's meteorological agency. Chunks of rock from the explosion were found 3,300 feet away from the volcano. The agency said volcanic ash fell on nearby areas as well as parts of Tokyo. TV reports showed neighborhoods sprinkled with white flakes. Oh my gosh, we've never had volcanoes before. Ban carbon. That's why their houses are built out of wood and paper, balsa wood, because of the volcanoes, because of earthquakes. It's normal. No, it's humans. We did it. Ah, tax me. It'll fix it. Tax me. Please, save me.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Waging war on corruption, crashing through the lies and disinformation, Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, volcano erupts near Tokyo, raining ash down on the city and spewing rocks everywhere, boulders. Scientists see holes in glacier at Alaska volcano. AP geologists monitoring Mount Redoubt for signs of a possible eruption noticed a hole in the glacier clinging to the north side of the volcano had doubled in size overnight and now spans the length of two football fields. Scientists with the Alaska Volcano Observatory on Friday flew close to Drift Glacier and spotted vigorous steam emanating from the hole on the mountaintop. But Saturday, they had confirmed the area was a fumarole, an opening in the earth that emits gas and steam that was increasing in size at an alarming rate. And the same thing is happening, of course, in Yellowstone. The whole thing is a fumarole. That's why you have it rising and falling and all the glaciers and the bubbling mud pits. But it's getting more and more active. And a lot of top volcanologists and seismologists and others that study this are saying it could blow sky high. You see, giant meteorites, huge comets slam into the planet. Scientists had always told the public to not scare them over and over and over and over again, not to worry that it was only every 10, 15, 20 million years that a giant comet or asteroid would hit the planet, the huge devastators. But then Shoemaker Levy, the big comet, slammed into one of the gas giants and broke into five pieces and blew holes in it as big as the Earth. I'm going from memory here. Shoemaker Levy slammed into, it was Jupiter, wasn't it? Or was it Saturn it hit? I can't keep track of all this. Will one of you guys Google that? Just type Shoemaker Levy or comet slams into Jupiter and the year. Just pull it up here for me. I'm not snapping for them to snap to. I snap when I'm trying to think. Which one did the comet go into? I can't keep track of it all. It was in it was decades ago. The point is, when that happened, they had to admit, and then now with the observatories, the radio telescopes, every year, huge asteroids come with only, 500,000 miles, a million miles. And that sounds like far away, but it's not in the scheme of space. Yes, comet slams into Jupiter. March 4th, 95 was when this article was written. In July of 94, 21 chunks of comet Shoemaker Levy 9, which had broken apart a year earlier, slammed into Jupiter. The Hubble telescope recorded this spectacular event. These images, beginning at lower right, chronicle the result of one such collision. Hubble began snapping pictures of the impact just 5 minutes after the collision. And you can just see the huge blast holes in the side of the gas giant, as large as the Earth. Okay, we're talking about things hitting the planet as big as the planet. The comet wasn't as big as the U.S., I'm going from memory on this. That's why I pulled it up. But I believe some of the chunks were like 40, 50, 60 miles across. There were five major chunks. This says that there were 21 total chunks. But remember, there were five giant blast holes. So the comet chunks weren't as big as the Earth. It's blast holes The explosions were as big as planet Earth. Now, no amount of carbon taxes are going to fix that. This is climate change. When a chunk of a comet hits your planet, or when a comet hits your planet, or when some 10-mile across asteroid. You know what a 10-mile across asteroid would do if, say, it hit in the Gulf of Mexico again, like the one of the bigger ones they're aware of? Hit just below the Gulf of Mexico in the Caribbean. It rained rocks thousands of miles, blackened out the surface of the Earth to a twilight-like level for decades. Now, how's Al Gore going to save you from that? See, they're busy getting you ready for all these carbon taxes and taxes on cows and sheep and poultry and everything you do, and regulators running your life and shutting down factories and banning old cars has nothing to do with it. Your cars are nothing. We are nothing. We are tiny. We're on a tiny planet. Meanwhile, all over the globe, volcanoes are going crazy. All over the planet, volcanoes are erupting or getting ready to erupt. There are earthquakes going off all over the world. Remember the tsunami caused by an earthquake and a volcanic explosion. What was it, 800 miles off the coast of the nearest country it hit, and then a 60-foot wave just came in and just killed everybody. Came in and covered whole island nations. This is what humanity goes through. Remember Pompeii? What it did to multiple cities, killing everybody in it. They dug up the skeletons. They were covered with lava and hot ash. And in seconds, they were superheated and their skulls popped like eggs. But they tell the public, we've got to stop climate change. The Earth got 1 degree hotter in the last 30 years, and cars did it. When every study shows one big volcano going off more than all of human activity ever. And I know I keep repeating that because it's so asinine what they claim with global warming being man-made when it has nothing to do with us. Nothing. So, there's a volcano becoming active, starting to erupt in Alaska. This is how stupid the mainstream media thinks the public is. 3 years ago, they first showed polar bears on ice floes and said the polar bears were going to die because they can't swim and that they'd gotten stuck on ice floes. When they've been recorded to swim up to 300 miles, they like to swim 100 miles. Polar bears routinely swim. During the warm season, they go out to the ice packs and they hunt beluga whale and seal, and they're so strong. Most vicious land animal, pound for pound, I mean, they just kill a grizzly bear in seconds. Polar bears will reach in and haul in a 2,000-pound beluga with one arm. Bam! Just drag the whale up and eat it. They go out and they hunt on ice packs. Their population in North America alone, not counting in the other hemisphere, because they live in the north as well, in Russia and northern Europe. Their population went from 35,000 to over 41,000 in the last decade. They don't care. They're listing it as endangered and threatened and saying they've got to stop development in Alaska and Canada for the stinking things. When they're running around stealing people's garbage, running around the neighborhoods now, they won't allow the locals to kill them anymore. So I've seen shows where in one little town in Canada, they some days capture as many as 8 in these cages and then fly them hundreds of miles away and dump them out. And they're not scared anymore, so now they're starting to kill people. Because it's endangered. It's threatened. There's no more polar bears. They can't swim. They think you're so stupid. They tell you polar bears can't swim. And I see children's books and children's textbooks and children's TV shows where every time I turn television on, I watch TV like once a week. And every time I try to find something my children can watch on Animal Planet, they go, look at the poor polar bears. They're all dying because the ice is melting and they don't have a habitat. And it's all over for them because they can't swim. They insult your intelligence every single day. Hey, what if these volcanoes all over Alaska and Canada start erupting like they're doing in northern Europe right now, like they're doing in Iceland, like they're doing in other places? What's going to happen if the volcano kills polar bears? Are we going to ban? Maybe we'll have a tax. Maybe you can pay a tax. It's like protection money. It's like we're ignorant superstitious savages or something. And, you know, the witch doctor would stand up, no matter if it was in ancient Europe or Asia or Africa or Latin America, and say, you give me the biggest hut, you give me the biggest palace, you give me the best food, or I won't let the sun come back next week. He would know that an eclipse was coming. His family would pass down that knowledge, and they'd say, yes, sir, we'll do whatever you say, just make the sun come back. See how that works? That's a mind trick. That's a parlor trick. That's where all this superstition comes from. Well, they do the same thing today. The earth is going to flood, and everybody's going to die if we don't tax people. In all these decades, they hyped global warming, and I told you it was all about a tax because their internal documents said it was about getting you ready to accept a global tax paid to the global bank. And now they admit it. I had Rothschild on, remember, a year and a half ago, and he goes, there's no tax being planned. And I said, yes, there is. And now they're proposing the taxes and ramming them down your throat. And cities all over the place are passing these global greenhouse gas emission taxes. And they're now saying they're going to tax all barnyard animals for their flatulence. And now they're proposing humans be taxed for our, well, for lack of a better word, our farts, ladies and gentlemen. So, I mean, you know, polar bears can swim and your flatulence isn't causing a problem. And you don't have any real effect on this earth. There are two things that man is doing that could destroy the earth and destroy the ecosystem we have. And that's radical cross-species genetic engineering. Nothing's being done to even regulate or control that. And, of course, nuclear weapons. And then in that whole physics area, the fission fusion reactors, the CERN heavy colliders, that could destroy the earth. But is the elite worried about that? No, they're racing to build more giant reactors and more fission fusion chambers and creating artificial suns and creating artificial black holes. They've already created thousands of artificial black holes in laboratories. And they admit, well, CERN could make a really dangerous one, but it's a very low probability, we believe. So we're going to start colliding uranium and plutonium particles at light speed, slamming them into other blocks of uranium and plutonium and lead. Oh, but that's not a problem. Your cows going to the bathroom is. You going to the bathroom, that's the big threat. Your car putting out carbon dioxide that plants breathe. And I see TV ads saying, we're planting trees to clean the air of the toxic waste, carbon dioxide, that they breathe. All right, I'm going to come back and take your calls, but I just wanted to let you know that there's nothing the New World Order can do to stop it. If asteroids, well, I guess they could try to stop asteroids, but these volcanoes, they have no control over it. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us. Let's go back to your calls, and I'm going to get into more FEMA camp news in the mainstream media. Obama goes back on his promise, says they're going to secretly arrest and torture people, basically. What do you expect? It couldn't be any other way. These guys are puppets. Let's go ahead and talk to George in Texas and Roy, Steve, Brian, Lindsay, and others. You're on the air, George.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
Yes, I just got a report out of Florida, out of my relatives in Florida, that they're starting to put big posters of Obama all over the place, and they're starting to say he'll fix everything.
Yes, and with government money, they're running billions of dollars. I mean, it's on every TV show, ad council ads, government produced, that say join his private USA service .org, and they are putting up billboards, they are putting up posters, it is confirmed. The media is unified behind him, which, again, is corporate-owned, foreign-owned. So they set up Bush as the bad guy. Now they're giving you the savior so that he can ram through setting up the New World Order publicly, which will be a giant offshore bank that you pay your taxes to, and they've now announced that. Just the everything we said is now mainstream news in your face. North American unions and the Wall Street Journal, they say it's the only thing that will save the economy.
Also, too, when I had to bury my father-in-law a couple weeks ago.
Sorry to hear that.
A couple people from the military who came down because that was their grandfather, and they're sitting there going, they're talking about the Obama oath, and they're sitting there talking about there might be a major desertion in the military if they make them fake this Hitler oath.
Let's be clear. Bush tried to introduce that 6 years ago, right after they staged 9/11, and they had some of the troops. This was in mainstream news. People are asking for confirmation. I saw Kurt Nimmo's article last night, didn't do a lot of research on it, but I remembered that it was in mainstream news about 6 years ago that Bush had a new oath, but only some of the troops were given it, where they swore an oath to the commander-in-chief. Now, I didn't have time to do research on that because I can only research so much. I did my research specifically on his executive order saying they're going to keep kidnapping people. It's known as a rendition. But I, you know, just like earlier when I remembered that it was Shoemaker Levy 9 that hit Jupiter, and I remembered that it was five major pieces, but I still didn't want to do it without checking. I had the guys Google it, and sure enough, I was accurate and I was right. But still, it stuff 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, I'm not 100% on. So for accuracy, folks need to check that. You know, back when I had time, I would tell my writers what I wanted them to write about. I just had Paul and Steve Watson, and I would call them and say, check this, check that. You know, they write a lot of stories on their own, but a lot of stories I would say, I remember this, I remember that, go check it, and they would do it. If I would have known that Kurt was doing that article, because, I mean, it's multidimensional, but it doesn't, because nobody can cover all the points, it would cover the subsection. I would remember and say, okay, Kurt, I remember Bush had him do an oath too like this, and I remember how the oath goes. It's to him, not to the Constitution. But then they didn't fully implement it. So I believe this is true. This has been in blogs and news, and the military's talking about it. We haven't confirmed this yet. But I do know Bush tried it. So what did these guys in the military specifically say to you?
Said, well, also with the don't ask, don't tell, with the open gates in the military. And they said, and they're sitting there talking about they might have to retake their oath, swearing total allegiance to the commander-in-chief. And they're saying if they have to do that, they'll desert.
So they're saying they were told this?
Yes.
But see, you know why Obama's doing this. And I know Bush tried it, so I believe it's happening. They want the good people out. See, that way they know they only have idiots and criminals under them. What else did they say?
Well, that's about it. But also, I talked to him. It's like when I talked to him, they said, oh, we're losing the war. We're losing the battle for the freedom. And I said, well, when you look at Congress trying to pass all this legislation, the Fairness Doctrine, the gun control laws, the hate crime bills, I said, because we're winning and they're reacting. All they're doing is reacting. Am I right about that?
Say that again, sir. My audio was cutting out.
I'm just saying.
What was the question?
Well, I'm just saying because with all the I'll hold over.
Okay, stay there because I missed part of your question. I'm trying to understand exactly what you're saying. Stay with us. Yes, we're in the most interesting, most frightening, most out of control times humanity has ever seen right now. And Lord willing, we're going to be on the air here covering it as it all unfolds. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Let's go back to George in Texas. You had a question, George.
Yes. I'd like to know, do you think we're winning? Because, you know, you look at Congress, they're trying to ram these bills, the FEMA camp bills, the gun control bills, the hate crime laws. Because I really think they're reacting because they're seeing with the massive gun sales and they see the resistance building. I think they're trying. Do you think they're just trying to cut us off at the pass because they know they're losing big time?
Yes, exactly. They know. Look, when the Congress hit a 9% approval rating, when the public hated both parties, not just Bush, the again, I repeat this all the time, but it's so important. Before, you'd have the party that was in power who just replaced the last unpopular party. Let's say you'd have the Democrats in power, and then they'd have a 55% approval rating or maybe 57%, and the other party would have a 42, 43% approval rating. Then people get sick after 4 or 8 years of that party and say, well, I'll put the Republicans in. And then they'd have a 55% approval rating, and the Democrats a 45. And then it flip-flops. Well, that changed the last 4 or 5 years. The public started getting wise and said, you know what, it doesn't matter who it is in power. Both parties are controlled. But then the establishment said, let's throw them a curveball. We got a smart, you know, really intelligent, dynamic, charismatic black guy. Let's put him in there making promise change that he's going to make it better. And they said, yeah, that looks like change, you know, different packaging, but it's the same thing inside the container. And so they brought in Obama, and man, is he a betrayer and a liar. It's worse than I even thought it would be. I mean, 10 different bills that basically outlaw almost every gun in the country, total registration, total licensing, and Obama's on TV saying everything's fine. I mean, this is just amazing. This is just absolutely amazing to have this going on. And I can't believe they're actually introduced bills that say every gun will be registered. You won't be able to own guns if you have misdemeanors. Any psychological record, you know, we got depressed when you were a teenager or your parents had you reviewed. You know, anybody, you have a car wreck now. They try to give you a mental designation and say, here's some Prozac because your back's hurt. We know you're depressed. It is just... It's about institutionalizing everybody, getting a label, getting you on welfare, getting you in the criminal justice system, getting you in debt by hook or by crook. They just want to get everybody in the system so they can then say, well, you don't have your rights because you're in the system. I appreciate your call. And then they've got FEMA camp bills, and they've built the FEMA camps, and it's in the news, and mainstream news is admitting world government is here. I mean, imagine, it's the world government crowd that controls the banks, that engineered the collapse, and then they're the saviors on TV. I watched hours of the Davos Switzerland meetings on C-SPAN in my hotel room this weekend. And it was just, they repeated the same thing. This is a global crisis, only a global solution, and the New World Order can fix it. Over and over again. It's going to get tough. The public's going to know it's going to get tough, but we'll fix it if they just go with the New World Order. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. With no one ever saying, these are the guys that engineered it all and wrote white papers decades ago, how they were going to get everybody dependent on global banks, create a global system so they could globally take everybody down at once. This is financial military conquering. This is financial war. This is business war. This is corporate takeover of every government on earth. They've bought off the politicians. They've bought off the parties. They've had those politicians then set up domestic police state forces. This is how tyranny's done, 2.0 style, in the 21st century. Oh, man. So even though all these years we've been warning you and seeing their documents and covering it, it still takes my breath away to know that we have now reached the point where this thing is coming out from behind the curtain, and that means they're making their final move. Roy in Michigan, you're on the air.
Yeah, Alex. You know, every time that they come against my neighbor's freedom of speech or come against his right to travel without a license, every time that they come against any of the constitutional rights, it's done through the courts. And what needs to be done is these courts need to have a number of the neighborhood get together around that individual and take him to file a waiver of tort against the judge. And enough judges get this file against them, and they will back off.
Well, you're right that the courts are becoming so corrupt, it's comical if it wasn't so serious. And because communities don't stick together, because we've been taught to watch our TV sets, to not go talk to our neighbors, people don't sit on their front porches anymore, people don't go barbecue in their backyard except maybe once a year for the Super Bowl, we are just looking at the glowing mind control box and not living while the organized government picks us off one at a time.
Yeah, they're trying to pick me off right now for my freedom of speech. And, of course, I'm going to fight this battle by myself, but I shouldn't be fighting it by myself.
What are they doing to you? What's happening?
Well, I have a billboard in my front yard, which is 12 foot high and 61 foot long. And it lays out the 911. It lays out the Waco. It lays it all out. And it has even has InfoWars as one of the sources for getting the documentation of what I'm saying.
Well, please take a photo, write a two-paragraph blurb with your name and information if you want it. If not, leave it out, and with your email address, and we will post it on the website. Just send it to Mike at InfoWars.com. No, Kurt at InfoWars.com.
I'll do that, but the fact is that they're taking me to court right now, and I feel that I could win in court. See, I've had the billboards up for over 12 years.
And let me guess, they've expanded the city zoning out into your area and are claiming retroactively you have no free speech. Because zoning does not cover free speech statements. They can even pass a zoning law saying no signs in your yard. But if it's your free speech, they've lost in court time and time again.
Right, but of course, they also, we have such a corrupted system up here that I don't look to use their law in order to take it to defeat them. There is other remedies. This is what I'm saying, is that every time that one of our neighbors gets pulled over and arrested for driving without a driver's license, then his neighbors around him can sign a waiver of tort against that judge. And enough people do that, and the Constitution will become real to them in a real big hurry.
Well, there's a lot of little things that I hear people claim works. I mean, have you seen this waiver of tort work?
Yes, I have seen the waiver of tort. They arrested one of my neighbors for carrying a knife.
Well, see,
for a concealed weapon, and the judge went to the. He had put him in jail for contempt of court for filing the waiver of tort on a judge, but the judge went to his jail cell to take it to let him know that he was backing off. And I know that when the judges become personally responsible for what is going on here, and these cops become personally responsible and have to take it suffer a loss of property or whatever, they will back off.
Yeah, but what I'm telling you, Roy, is if you want support, we'll post your email or your contact. But send us a photo or a couple photos and then write what you want posted on the site. Okay, because that way it's your own words and we'll post that on the site and you'll probably get hundreds of people in your area of Michigan that want to help you. I appreciate your call. So that was an offer of aid. That's the whole point of what I was saying. Yeah, especially places like Michigan and Southern California where the economy's imploding, they're just hiring more cops. And the business is now arresting people and nitpicking and white glove inspecting people and getting them in the system. We're now going into the predatory cannibalism phase where the society completely implodes. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Because the bankers are running it all. The criminal bankers. Let's talk to Steve in Chicago. Steve, you're on the air.
Yes, Alex Emmerich Jones. I'm going to get your Irishness up. This story about Blagojevich that you're floating is completely wrong. This is an all-Irish gang up on the one Serbian guy that's in the government. You have to remember the chronology of this thing. Dick Durbin meets with Patrick Fitzgerald in some kind of meeting 2 or 3 days, and he promised him before Blagojevich is arrested, he promises to give him tenure again. Now, that's unusual for a Republican to get tenure from a Democratic senator. And after that, he's arrested. Then you have this Lisa Madigan jumping in. First of all, Durbin was one of the first calling for Blagojevich's head. The second story is this Lisa Madigan. This Lisa Madigan tried to impeach the guy. Well, Lisa Madigan, you don't ever hear that she ran against the former U.S. Deputy Attorney General with her meager qualifications, whatever they were, as a law clerk, John Schmidt.
Okay, you're up in Chicago, so you know all the inside baseball stuff. I wasn't even commenting specifically on Blagojevich. What I was commenting on is the fact that regardless of whether he's guilty or not, people are on the news saying, oh, all politicians are corrupt. That's how you get stuff done. And acting like that corruption itself is okay, as if he is guilty and as if that's almost like a job requirement. Of course they're selectively enforcing on him. Why was the FBI surveilling him to begin with? We know the NSA surveils everybody, especially politicians. We know that that was one of the last things the Republicans did before they left office. We know Obama is now going to persecute Republicans. And I know it was Blagojevich who 4 years ago in the Chicago Tribune came out and said the government's running white slavery camps. So maybe they're mad at him for doing that with Dyncorp and Halliburton. I don't know. I just know that he admits he's on tapes going, I want some money for myself from this. And he admits he said that. And I don't care if, you know, just corruption is just so widespread that that's nothing compared to it. But the big issue here is we have the guy that helped bring him into politics, him and Obama. And you can disagree with this, but I mean, this is how I understand it. I mean, he brags about it. The architect of the bailout, Rahm Emanuel, who is certainly involved with Blagojevich, and notice he's not in any trouble. So, I mean, it is very confusing, but something's going on there. Go ahead.
Okay, well, how about some transparency for the Fitzpatrick reappointment? We're talking about Senator Burris being appointed as senator. How come we don't have transparency in that Durbin meeting between Fitzpatrick? I want to know what's going on there. Another issue about this continuing the Irish topic. One German-American, his name was Ryan, had to change his name to O'Brien to be elected Cook County judge. Then we got Chicago Fire Department. These are from the Chicago Sun-Times. Changing the scores on the paramedics test so that the Irish people can be paramedics. That's way too much for me.
No, I know. I mean, look, Masons do this. All ethnic groups or religious groups do this. It's good old boy networks. And it's certainly known that the Irish and Italian mafia have run Chicago for 100 years. And the dailies are just open mob bosses. They disarm their slaves. I mean, I'm a Heinz 57. So when somebody sits there, I don't get into, you know, Irish, German, Chinese, African. I mean, you know, so it doesn't bother me when somebody says there's an Irish mafia. I mean, we criticize the Irish mafia, the Jewish mafia, the WASP mafia that nobody ever talks about, the biggest one. I mean, it's just mafia, period. That's how it works. So, but we can't just accept that because then this criminality just completely takes society over. So you think Blagojevich is a good guy?
No, I didn't say that, but I'm saying you don't report that John Daly, who's the mayor's brother, was in on the NAFTA treaty. You don't ever report he was with Morgan Stanley.
No,
you don't
ever
report that.
Sir, do you listen every day for 4 hours?
Well, almost every day.
Look, that's not fair. And you know, I cover every issue that I come across. I mean, I didn't read the whole executive order a week and a half ago, and I finally did, and it says that they're going to continue secret arrests and renditions. I did read the part where they said they're going to continue once they grab you, holding you incommunicado. But you know, now they say they're going to keep kidnapping people and taking them to death camps. A lot of them have died in these facilities. So these are death camps, the overseas ones. So, I'm a regular guy. And I'm always bashing Mayor Daley and then his big papa, who's down in Hades right now. And I understand that Chicago is mob run. But, I mean, what's the whole point? I appreciate your call. I mean, I really don't get it. I mean, I can't get into every facet of every crook. Here's an example. I've got an article here in my stack dealing with all the Trilateral Commission people that are being appointed to Obama's administration. I mean, if you want me to get into details in their background, okay. Lindsey and Brian and Michael and Steve, you're going to have to hold because I'll just go ahead and get into some background and some detail right now. This is from News with Views. It says, Obama Trilateral Commission endgame. As previously noted, in Pawns of the Global Elite, Barack Obama was groomed for the presidency by key members of the Trilateral Commission. Most notably, it was Zbigniew Brzezinski, co-founder of the Trilateral Commission, with David Rockefeller in 1973, who was Obama's principal foreign policy advisor. They have links to all the background on their claims. Now, I could speak for hours on each one of these people. And they openly called for the North American Union, European Union, and Asian Union, They've set them all up on paper. American Union is openly operating. I was watching Davos, Switzerland meeting, Economic Forum. They were admitting all this. I mean, but then the public isn't watching that. They've been told it doesn't exist. The pre-election attention is reminiscent of Brzezinski's tutoring of Jimmy Carter prior to Carter's landslide election in 76. For anyone who doubts the commission's continuing influence on Obama, consider that he has already appointed no less than 9 members of the commission to top level and key positions in his administration. According to official Trilateral Commission membership list, there are only 87 members from the United States. The other 337 members are from other regions. Thus, in less than 2 weeks since his inauguration, Obama's appointments encompass more than 10% of the commission's entire U.S. membership. Is this a mere coincidence, or is it a continuation of dominance over the executive branch since 76? Well, of course it is. You go read the policy reports put out by all these characters, and they're all calling for world currency, world tax, world army, world regulation, gun confiscation, and they come in, and what are they doing? For important information, read the Trilateral Commission, Usurping Sovereignty. It goes on. Number one, Secretary of Treasury, Tim Geithner. Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice. National Security Advisor, Thomas Donilon. Chairman of Economic Recovery Committee, Paul Volcker. Director of National Intelligence, Admiral Dennis C. Blair. Deputy Secretary of State, James Steinberg. State Department Special Envoy, Richard N. Haass. Richard Haass, it's the head of the CFR right there. 9, State Department Special Envoy, Dennis Ross. State Department Special Envoy, Richard C. Holbrooke. It goes on and on. Stay with us. We are back live. Yeah. Okay. Going through all the trilateralists they're bringing in. There are many other links to the Trilateral Commission. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is married to commission member William Jefferson Clinton. Geithner's informal group of advisors include E. Gerald Corrigan, Paul Volcker, Alan Greenspan, Peter G. Peterson, among others. His first job after college was with Henry Kissinger at Kissinger Associates. Yes, Obama is a special minion, and they always take only one guy in every decade or so to be his underling. That's right. Obama was Henry Kissinger's underling. Oh, he will save us. He'll fight the evil Republicans for us. Brent Scrocoff has been an unofficial advisor to Obama and was mentored to Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who's always calling for a new world order. Robert Zoellick is currently president of the World Bank. Another trilateral commission, Lawrence Summers, White House Economic Advisors, was mentored by former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin during the Clinton administration. There are many other such links, and they analyze the positions. It goes on for page after page. And I want to go back to your phone calls. We got Congressman Hamburg joining us coming up at the 8 after. We're going live at 8 after at PrisonPlanet.tv for the last hour and 51 minutes, by the way. Getting into the FEMA camp legislation, and we're getting the liberal on to talk about Obama and continued renditions, continued kidnappings. Before I do that, we do now have a donate button at Infowars.com. People always call us saying they want to donate, and we appreciate that. We say donate by buying the books, videos, Infowars.com, ball caps and beanies, T-shirts. It all is about getting the information out, in-game, terror storm. Show the films to people. That's how we're spreading the word. That's one of the best ways we're affecting change. This is a visual TV culture. So go to Infowars.com and check out all the specials and the combos and the new books and videos we're carrying. Like Eye of the Phoenix, America's Secret History, Part 3, just came out last week. We have it at Infowars.com right now, available for everybody. On the secure online shopping cart, you can call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Or you can see all the films in super high quality and my weekly TV reports and the live PrisonPlanet.tv stream. We go live on the radio and the simulcast in the last 2 hours every day. at prisonplanet.tv. Live streams and archives of that. But if you want to just straight up donate, you're certainly welcome. The money will go right back into fighting the New World Order, hiring more people, making better films, more films, and just overall upping our game with your support at prisonplanet.tv. And it's essentially because times are tough, we're asking for donations, because we've got to not just stay the same size, we've got to expand, because the people are coming to us. We are exploding in size. So go check out Barry Cooper's Never Get Busted Again videos. That we just added those. The Eye of the Phoenix, America's Secret History Revealed, part 3 of the series. Just an amazing documentary. Films just get better and better. These guys are putting out very high production quality. Great to wake people up. Again, Eye of the Phoenix, available at Infowars.com. And see all my films and a lot more at PrisonPlanet.tv. Again, that's PrisonPlanet.tv. And then, of course, we've got Jason Burmes' debut as director with Fabled Enemies, which gets into the intelligence networks controlling the hijackers who were just decoys, Israeli intelligence, Pakistani intelligence, British and CIA. Fabled Enemies, the doomsday aircraft that were in the sky that day, even covered by CNN, out surveilling everything, clearly in control of the operation, all covered in Fabled Enemies, again available by calling 888-253-3139. Or see it all right now at prisonplanet.tv. Endgame, Fabled Enemies, Truth Rising, and a lot more. Okay, some of your phone calls straight ahead, then Congressman Hamburg.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now into the third hour, Congressman Dan Hamburg joining us coming up in the next segment to talk about the accelerating police state grid. I mean, a hardcore classic police state expanding now under Barack Obama and his horror at that. I haven't even pre-interviewed him, but I'm sure he's a moral guy, and he's written about this and worried about it. So we'll see what his take is on Obama. I'll be shocked if he doesn't know what's going on and isn't concerned. Right now, let us go ahead and go back to the calls. Lindsay in Idaho, thanks for holding her on the air.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon.
I just have a quick question and a suggestion for you, if I may. I know you started out your show about this, as I'm calling it, this week's New World Order anti-drug poster child, Michael Phelps.
Yes.
I pulled up. Have you had a chance, I know you're a busy man, to read the Fox Sports article about it and his quote to the press?
I've seen him apologizing, saying he'll never do it again, and he...
This particular quote, what I just wanted to read, and then a quick suggestion, if I may, it's only a paragraph.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, he said, quote, "I engaged in behavior which was regrettable and demonstrated bad judgment." Phelps said in the statement released, and then they put in brackets, and let's face it, probably written by one of his agents and or attorneys. So he goes on to say, quote, "I'm 23 years old, and despite the successes I've had in the pool, I acted in a youthful and inappropriate way, not in a manner people have come to expect from me. For this, I am sorry. I promise my fans and the public it will not happen again," unquote. My suggestion is, you know, in this thing, and you opened up your show about the situation with marijuana in this country when there's a whole lot bigger problems, and I just wondered if you would consider, and of course that would have to be probably up to his agents and or attorneys, to have him on the show and explain his side of it.
Are you kidding? Everybody wants that interview. We're going to try. I mean, we'll try. I'm sure it's not going to succeed.
No, I'm not kidding. I just I didn't know if you'd even considered it.
Yeah, well, Aaron Dykes is right now as we speak in Kingston, New York with Rob Jacobson interviewing Gerald Celente for the Obama film. And so they're in New York, and so Aaron has been filling in producing, but we do have our new producer, soon to be introduced and unveiled to people in the next week or so. The problem is doing interviews for producers. There were so many people that were so great filming that position that I ended up hiring two guys for that job But I'm going to get both of them, too, to fill in running the TV show and board hopping because they both have those skills. So we're going to have two new great producers. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Why would you need two producers, folks? Well, there's some new things coming. We'll just leave it at that for everybody. Look, we're going to blast our way out of this depression. I'm taking the savings I've got, money that won't be worth anything anyway, a little bit of money I had saved for my kids in college someday. I'm just spending it. I'm expending all of our fuel. That's right. You're getting paid with my kids' college money. You like that? Anyways, we are, because we're having such a big effect, we're reaching so many, we're at that point of really going mega huge. And so we're going to up our game at every level. But as we up our game, we have all, you know, all these bigwigs in industry and media and government and Hollywood and music calling us. And I don't even have time to, you know, line them up for the show, but now we're going to do that. So a lot of big things coming for the radio show. And so we're deciding to grow while everybody else is contracting. But to do that, again, like I just said last segment, we need your support, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm not going to sit here and not follow my destiny to fight the New World Order. I don't know what will come of that, but I'm in the arena. I'm going 110%. I hope you'll fight with me, not behind me, but right beside me. You do that by spreading the word about the show, by buying the books, the videos, and just supporting us, battling all the disinfo agents out there attacking us on the web. We need your help. Hey, the Redcoats aren't coming. They're here. I need your help. I'm fighting them on the front lines every day. And people are coming to us for answers, so we're going to up our game. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting the radio show in the television dimension, audio and visual. Thank you for joining us. Congressman Dan Hamburg has still agreed to come on with us today. He's a little bit under the weather, so we're just going to do about 20, 30 minutes with him and then go back to your phone calls and cover all the news. The reason I wanted to have him on is that he wrote some big op-ed pieces in publications like the San Francisco Chronicle detailing PDD 51, the FEMA camps. His analysis was dead on, right in line with ours, and he was worried that this whole apparatus would be passed on after Bush left, because let's face it, presidents have become ceremonial to a great extent. Whereas I would love to believe Obama really was going to fix things. I have children. Whereas I would really love to believe that everything was okay and get happy about equality in our first black president, I'm not here to be suckered or be conned. And I know that he's bringing in the worst of the Clinton people, the worst of the Bush people are staying on. The banker bailout bill gave immunity to the bankers. $8.5 trillion has been stolen, according to multiple publications, Bloomberg, AP, San Francisco Chronicle. And it's been 8 weeks since we learned the new numbers. That was in the first month and a half they stole over a trillion 300 billion. Hard to get your mind around numbers that big. And now they're setting up an open world bank run by the bankers. So the ones that engineered all this, Obama is run by Wall Street. I mean, I said you can't vote for McCain, you can't vote for Obama. But I agree with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, you know, was a big Reaganite, that he said he was voting for Obama, and I couldn't say he was bad because he said, I have to repudiate George Bush, the torture, the secret arrest, the police state, the lying about wars, the lying about WMD. So he said, I'm voting for Obama. And I said, well, he's going to end up being just as bad. And Robert said, well, probably so, but it's a message to the world. But I said, well, what about after Obama gets in and it all continues? He goes, well, that remains to be seen. He was on a few weeks ago and he said, Alex, even before he was inaugurated, or right after, he said, I think you were right. Looks like it's just as bad or worse. Because now the people are suckered by the slickness, the intelligence. I mean, Bush was insulting up there, bumbling and stuttering and making up words. Obama, you know, he comes across as genuine. He's cool. He wears his hat backwards and, you know, does the hang ten, you know, surfing stuff. He's slick. He's cool. Well, so are a lot of other psychopaths, silver-tongued. And that's why I'm making the Obama deception. But Congressman Hamburg, I wanted to get you on to go over all of this, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Alex. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Paul Craig Roberts. I try to read everything that that I see that comes out on the net that he writes. And, I have to say that I mostly share your perception. I don't think Obama is a psychopath, but I'd sure like to know what he was doing when he went to work for Business International Corporation after he left Columbia, because there's still something about Barack Obama. And, you know, I hate to be a naysayer, because so many of my friends and even colleagues and people I respect are riding this Obama wave. And, you know, and I don't want to be the skunk at the garden party, but at the same time, you know, you look at so many things that are going on. As you mentioned, the retreads from Clinton, the retreads from Bush, the way this economic crisis is being handled, which seems more like a heist than a stimulus. When you look at the continuation of the extraordinary rendition program, you look at the continuation of camps that, you know, Guantanamo closed it in a year. Well, you know, I think they ought to close it in 24 hours. I don't know why it takes a year. You know, it didn't take a year to open it. It shouldn't take a year to close it. But putting that aside, Bagram Air Force Base, you know, they're doing the same thing there they're doing in Guantanamo. They're doing the same thing at U.S. military bases in Iraq, which seemed to me to still be not enduring bases, as they used to call them, but permanent military installations as part of the American empire. And as I heard pointed out in the media last week, Barack Obama is now in charge of the biggest military machine in the history of the planet by far. He is now the one who has responsibility for the American empire. And he better start acting like he understands the undemocratic and profoundly negative aspect of that. And he doesn't really seem to have any understanding that he is now the ruler of an empire. He is now the ruler of a country that supplies more arms around the world than any other country on the face of the earth and in the history of the planet Earth. And you know, I think this is going to be a pretty limp-wristed administration if what we've seen so far is an indication of what's to come. You know, and I could go on. You know,
well, Congressman, I want you to, but let me throw in some points here. If you look at what Barack Obama's really doing, he's a slick pitchman, but a military-industrial complex owned by offshore banks that big isn't going to let him get in, isn't going to give him more money than any presidential candidate was ever given, four or five times, depending which numbers you look at, in Wall Street money than John McCain got. His administration filled with the very bankers that have engineered this collapse. And they're now amassing more power, terrorizing people, saying, give us unlimited power or there'll be a depression. In hindsight, it's doing Obama a favor. And that's the approach I have in the Obama deception of going, look, forget this guy. Look at who's in control. That's who we need to blame. If we always get distracted, and I did this. You know, I pointed out Bush was a distraction. He was evil and horrible. It should be brought to justice. But still, what about those pulling his strings? What about his handlers? Let's look past Barack Obama and George Bush and look at the real power structure, and it's the very same people now filling the ranks. So comment on that, A, and then B, on the rendition, the kidnapping. It says, under executive orders issued by Obama recently, the CIA still has the authority to carry out what are known as renditions, secret abductions and transfers of prisoners to countries that cooperate with the United States. So it's a bait and switch. I mean, I've been reading what the legal scholars are saying, even liberals who are kind of halfway wanting to, well, they're going to take them to secret camps. So A, everything's being put on Obama, and I believe it's going to be a trap. They're going to destroy him in the end after he's served his usefulness politically. And then B, still allowing the abductions and taking them to secret client countries?
Well, it's, you know, it's way beyond creepy. And, you know, when you hear the justification from it in the, you know, the mainstream press led by, you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post, it's, you know, the justification is, well, we have to keep these tools in our national tool bag for fighting terrorism. Well, you know, even people like Chris Matthews on MSNBC are starting to understand that you don't fight a war on terrorism terrorism is a tactic. It has nothing to do with an enemy. And when you try to put your finger on who the enemy is, you run into the fact that Al-Qaeda itself is a mythological organization, and to the extent there is an Al-Qaeda, it was created by the CIA. So, I mean, there are so many subterfuges within subterfuges within subterfuges, and you're right. The American people are being hoodwinked, they're being led around like sheep, and for what purpose? Well, it seems like the purpose is the same as it ever was, which is to rob the great majority of us in order to feed the rich. And that's what our economic system has been about for many, many decades, if not a couple of centuries.
Congressman,
until people understand that, you know, I don't see anything really positive happening for the United States of America.
Except we're going to kind of, while we go down the road to hell, they're kind of giving us laughing gas to feel euphoric about Obama, and he says he cares about us, and he says he wants us to, you know, work with him. Going back to an editorial you wrote, I guess about a year and a half ago, about Bush and how the whole apparatus of the police state and the FEMA camps and PDD 51 was all, and John Warner Defense Authorization Act, it was all aimed at us. Now we're seeing it in the news that they're arresting people for marijuana, they're arresting people for talking back on airplanes, they're charging them under the Patriot Act, and it's all continuing under Obama. And he's saying, we're going to continue the war on terror, we're going to encircle Russia, we're going to 30,000 more troops to start with in Afghanistan. He's talking about a national draft, 18 to 24. I mean, George Bush could have never gotten away with this, but
it's sort of like what Bill Clinton pulled when he came into office and was able to get all this legislation passed, and everybody said, geez, the Republicans never could have ended welfare. The Republicans never could have gotten NAFTA passed. The Republicans never could have got that crime bill through. So the Democrats, you know, come in and actualize the Republicans' fondest dreams. But Obama, as you said, is a very slick character, and he, you know, it's like having Will Smith as president, you know, and people just can't help but love him and the wife and the babies, and it's such a pretty picture, and, you know, it's going to suck people along for a while, but, you know, the piper will be paid, and if a year from now this economy is even more cratered than it is now, all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be blaming on the black man. And it's going to, you know, I can see some very ugly scenarios down the road. And I think the only way you combat it is to wake up America and get people to entertain the idea that they're being fooled.
Well, Congressman, finish up after the break. We're about to go to break.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. And that's what, you know, when I talk to people like KRS-One or I talk to other, you know, well-known hip-hop rap icons, that's what they're concerned about because they know what's going on. They know he's a front man. And they know in the end this is a trap. And that's why, in a way, I'm doing Barack Obama a favor. The public needs to know this guy, love him or hate him. You know, I mean, you think he's the Messiah or you think he's the devil. You need to understand something. He is a front man. And 2 weeks into his administration, we know it's business as usual, with just a little bit of pat on the head rhetoric. So I want to get your take on that and talk about solutions and where you see this going. And then the FEMA camp legislation openly introduced, and they say these FEMA camps are basically going to take over local government. Stay with us. Former Congressman Dan Hamburg is our guest. We'll give you his website when we come back. We're back live. Congressman Dan Hamburg is our guest. Keeping with us for about 40 after. Then I'm going directly to all of you that have been patiently holding. Toll-free number to join us, 1-800-259-9231. We'll get you up and on the air. Make no mistake, this is the globalists making their move against free society right now, using the crises they have orchestrated to bring in even greater control. Foreign offshore banks are openly not just heisting, not just robbing the treasuries of the world, not just the United States, not just the West, but they're making their moves on third world countries. This is what they did to third world countries over and over again. They're now doing to us. It is an inside job. Congressman Hamburg, getting into the FEMA camps, getting into the situation there, getting into Obama's youth corps and forced civilian service. Rahm Emanuel's brainchild. They're now announcing a civilian military. The bill has been introduced. That's in my stack of news as well. Break down any concerns you've got about that.
Well, I have to tell you, Alex, that I caught the Corbett Report last week. And they had quite a segment with you. Were you aware of that?
No.
Well, the Corbett Report, are you aware of the Corbett Report? It comes out of Japan. And they had a segment of, you know, of you on the air, and they were talking about precisely this issue, which is this cult of Obama and this idea that we're all pledging, you know, not to our communities, but to Obama as the, you know, sort of the new, I don't want to say Führer, but it's sort of like that, you know, it's a cult of personality. And I find it, I think everybody should find it very alarming. You know, this country is not about individual heroes. This country is about, you know, wasn't there something in our Constitution about we the people? But, you know, we're getting away from that because things are at such a state that, and the people are so enamored of bread and circuses that, you know, they need this symbolic presence of, you know, the great leader that we're now all going to pay homage to. And I find it disgusting, but more than that, I find it very dangerous. I also find this new H.R. 645 alarming. It's the National Emergency Centers Establishment Act, introduced in the House as H.R. 645 by a man named Alcee Hastings of Florida. And, you know, I served with Alcee Hastings, very nice gentleman. But there's one interesting thing about him, which was that when he was a federal judge in Florida, he barely escaped. In fact, I think he did lose his judgeship on corruption charges, and shortly thereafter was able to win a seat in the House. But, you know, I was wondering, well, why is Alcee Hastings the one who's introducing this resolution? And a colleague of mine, Peter Dale Scott, who you may have heard of, he's written, you know, extensively about
interviewed him many times. Interviewed him last
you
week.
Know, Peter Dale. Anyway, Peter Dale Scott's take on this is, well, of course it would be Alcee Hastings. You know, they've got so much crap on Alcee Hastings that he's, you know, they can tell him to introduce a bill to, you know, to do anything, and he'll do it because they got plenty on him. But if you read through this bill, it's very alarming. It's establishing six FEMA camps around the United States on military bases. And to me, the best commentary I've read on this so far was the commentary made by Congressman Ron Paul, who pointed out that the fact that they're doing this on military bases, well let me just read something off his blog. He says, even though we know that detention facilities are already in place, they now want to legalize the construction of FEMA camps on military installations using the ever-popular excuse that the facilities are for the purpose of national emergency. National emergency centers will be used in a national emergency, but only if the emergency requires large groups of people to be rounded up and detained. If that isn't the case, asked Paul, then why have these national emergency facilities, why are they being built in military installations? And it's a very interesting point. And it should really make people worried. They're taking these bases and turning them into centers that they can move people to where they can be effectively contained for long periods of time. If you read through the legislation...
Congressman, stay there. Stay there. I don't want you to be cut off. Come back and start over on that point. And I particularly have been studying similar legislation for a long time. I want to connect a few dots when we come back with you and get your take on that, because you were in Congress and you know what type of chance it has of passing. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. They've also got a bunch of bills to effectively ban most guns in the country introduced.
No, I got to play my hand. What the winner don't know.
Take my chances on you. Again and again. We're coming straight on for the New World Order. I don't know if we're going to win this thing, but I know this. We're in the fight. We're in the arena. And we are not giving in. We're not giving up. We're not giving in to fear, intimidation, none of it. We're going straight on. All right, former congressman is our guest, Dan Hamburg. And we're going to let him go here in about 12 minutes or so. I'll go back to your phone calls and then go through a bunch of the news I haven't even gotten into yet. We were talking about, and you were reading a quote from Ron Paul about how serious this is. Excuse me. If you read the bill, the FEMA camp bill, it states they'll have clergy in there in local communities. And I've been studying the building of these FEMA camps. There's scores of them around the nation. It's been in the Houston Chronicle. So it's kind of like the warrantless spying. They warrantlessly spy on you, and then when they get caught, then they try to pass bills to legalize it. And so what they've done is reverse engineering. This is, it's everything I covered in my police state films, articles we've written. The clergy response teams we first discovered with the secret FEMA documents the pastors got to us. Nobody believed us. We were attacked in national news. A year and a half later, it came out in the news. It was true. It mentions the clergy on the camps. Now, they're trained to tell their local flocks to go to the camps, to turn in their guns, to take forced inoculations, to let them take their children away to other facilities for their safety. So you see these innocuous lines in there, and you know what it means. Also, these threat fusions, FEMA centers, they're building separate command centers in every city and then in even rural areas in the counties where the local police departments, it'll even be two or three counties or several cities, move into one building with the feds and the National Guard, which has now been federalized under what Homeland Security's openly announced, 20,000 regular troops to be on the streets, the National Guard to be now be totally federal. Governors, it says, serve at their pleasure as dual-hatted officers of the U.S. military. And so this is a NORTHCOM military dictatorship over the United States with clergy response teams and other community leaders. They're controlling the population, telling them that they can trust the military. Now, I mean, that's like right out of Red Dawn or something. That's really what happened in the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany and East Germany and under Mao Zedong. This is the classic, most hardcore system. In Germany, they had clergy leaders and others tell people to go to the work camps for their safety. You know, they don't announce this is a concentration camp or even a death camp. They go, oh, it's for your safety. Well, there's been some rioting. So with that background, Congressman Hamburg, can you specifically speak to what I was just talking about?
Well, you know, again, one of the things that that Ron Paul points out is that in Iceland and Greece, we have already had citizen riots in response to the economic meltdowns that are occurring. And of course, you have the last time I was on with you, it was the day or the day after Brad Sherman, Representative Brad Sherman, had stood up on the House floor. And I think in a one-minute speech had talked about how he had been warned by administration officials, and this was later corroborated by, I think it was Senator Imhoff, that threats were actually being made that martial law could be instituted if the bailout bills weren't passed. So we've got that. We've got what you mentioned about the battle-hardened brigades now being stationed in the United States. There's a brigade now, I believe they're still stationed in Georgia, although they may have been moved to Colorado, and plans currently being implemented to install two more brigades of soldiers who are trained in containing civil unrest and checkpointing transportation facilities and, you know, basically dealing with civilian disorder.
Locking down cities. Let me just add the caveat to back you up. This third brigade, and now they've actually expanded it to four, and then suddenly they're saying maybe they're going to double that in a year. So it's 20,000, 40,000. They've got to be combat ready, they're saying. The Army War College came out and said that their new mission is engaging the American people for civil unrest. Police agencies announced, like Phoenix, we're ready to do battle with you. So just amazing declarations, really, of war. against the people. And this 3rd Brigade is the cream of the army from Fallujah, from areas of Baghdad, where, as you just said, where they locked people down. So they have done the raids in homes, the gun confiscations. They are bringing the cream as the cadre to train the other brigades. Please comment on that.
Well, I'm not sure what to say about it that you haven't said. It's very frightening. Another thing, though, I want to throw in there is that since September 14th, 2001, a few days after the so-called 9/11 terrorist attack, the United States has been under a state of national emergency, which allows the federal government to put into place these continuity of government provisions, which allow for the for martial law to be instituted. Now, the last time that state of national emergency was reinstituted was on August 28th of 2008. I have heard nothing that indicates to me, and I keep looking for it and I keep asking about it, that that state of emergency has been rescinded by President Obama. As far as I know, this country is now in its, well, I guess it's still the seventh year, but getting close to the eighth year of a continually reinstituted on an annual basis state of national emergency. The Congress is when a state of national emergency is declared under United States law, Congress is supposed to reconsider that state of emergency on a six-month basis and either rescind it or continue it. That has never occurred, and we're talking about now, you know, 7 or 8 years. So for people to believe that this country is operating in a democratic framework when we're under a state of emergency with continuity of government procedures in effect and brigades of the Northern Command within the continental United States with posse comitatus basically having been, thrown out the window with a continuation of rendition and, all the rest of this stuff, you know, I don't know what people are smoking, but it's, they should start to wake up and smell the reality of what we're dealing with here.
Congressman, I'm always impressed by how informed you are. Probably next to Ron Paul, you're about the only person I get on air who is always aware of every point I bring up, every news article I bring up, because I'm constantly trying to keep track 3-4 hours a day, and I don't find half the stuff. You know, I find it later, and I'm always angry because so much bad is happening. People think I'm putting a bad face on things. No, it's far worse than I always predict looking at the evidence than it turns out it really was. That said, did you see the article where one of the former Fed governors told Bloomberg that other Fed members he knows that are on the Board of Governors now are calling the New York Fed and the private Federal Reserve Board and saying, let us know what's happening with the bailout. And they tell them, War Powers Act has been enacted. We are under martial law. And so we don't even have to tell you that. And then that dovetails with Congressman Sherman and others we've interviewed here and Senator Inhofe on record saying that they were threatened with physical martial law on October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd if they didn't pass the bailout. So clearly, with that national emergency integrated with the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, PDD 51, enemy combatant designations, the Military Commissions Act, with all of this nexusing in, we are under the military dictatorship of NORTHCOM. I mean, there's no other way to cut it.
No, and it's in direct violation of statutes that have been part of this country for 200 years. But unfortunately, the great majority of our population is blissfully unaware. And you know what we need is a huge number of Paul Revere's out there riding around, saying that the fascists have come and they have alighted in our cities and our towns and. They are robbing this country of whatever hope of liberty that we ever hope to exercise as citizens. And I just hope there's more programs like yours out there, and that people will start to wake up. Because as one of our great patriots said, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And without an informed public, democracy is dead.
Well, I agree with you. And Congressman, in the last few minutes we have with you, let's put the cherry on top here. We're under the War Powers Act. We're under NORTHCOM. Now, previously, they would have a CENTCOM. They would have a SOUTHCOM. You know, they would have areas that were under the military control in the empire. And now we have NORTHCOM over the heart of the empire, the homeland. I mean, look at all these terms. Look at the nomenclature. This is a long strategic program. We know these FEMA camps didn't just pop up this week as they're saying, oh, for the economic emergency. They've been slowly preparing for this for decades with the shadow government, the parallel government, the national security government, the national security dictatorship that Peter Dale Scott talks so much about. Isn't Obama the cherry on top, the messianic leader? We're in a crisis. This unpopular president has left. He comes in. He's slick. He loves us. He cares. But he needs dictatorial power. They're putting up billboards. They're running government PSAs about him like he's God, saying join his USA service.org that's a private group under him, like Mao. I mean, I couldn't dream up a worse scenario. I couldn't dream up something more horrible. I mean, it looks like he's the guy, the fresh horse they're putting into the race that is going to drag us right into the worldwide dictatorship.
Well, who could do it better? You know, it would have to be somebody who met the qualifications the way that Barack Obama does. And again, I think anyone with a critical mind has to ask themselves, where did this man come from? You know, as wonderful as he appears and, you know, intelligent and all the rest, you don't go from the Illinois State Senate to the President of the United States unless you've got some very extraordinary backing. And there was somewhere along the line in the Barack Obama story, and again, I go back to this Business International Corporation, which is where Obama went after Columbia, which, you know, you can look it up in Wikipedia and they'll tell you it's the CIA front. There was some point at which Obama was recruited and trained to be a certain type of political figure. And I'm not saying that when they trained him, you know, back, you know, when he had just finished undergraduate school before he went to Harvard, that they knew that he would be this person. I think the CIA recruits and trains scores, if not hundreds, of young people for these types of jobs, and they don't know exactly who is the one who's going to emerge. But I think
they've got a pool of candidates. You know, Bill Clinton was recruited by the British CIA section chief, who now, right, from our own research, ran the Kennedy assassination. So that's just now declassified. So we know Clinton and Hillary were both CIA. It's funny you bring that up. I didn't know this till about a week ago. Did you know that Obama's first job after college was with Henry Kissinger at Kissinger and Associates? That's above CIA. I mean, this is the guy who's kind of the gopher for the ultra elite over, you know, every major president since Richard Nixon. I mean, can you specifically, I mean, is that a good thing on Obama's resume that the uber gopher of the globalist was his handler out of college?
Well, no, but it, you know, it tells you a lot about who Barack Obama is. And, you know, we saw the confirmation of that when Obama became president and we watched him, our president-elect, and we watched him pick the people who would surround him in his cabinet. And, you know, a lot of people said, well, you know, he's just got the old LBJ strategy of, you know, it's better to have ball inside the tent than outside the tent. But, you know, there's just too many globalists, too many corporatists, too many imperialists in that cabinet to make you believe. I mean, you just have to be a Pollyanna to believe that this is going to end well.
Congressman, give out your website for folks that want to visit.
It's voiceoftheenvironment.org.
Voiceoftheenvironment.org. We'll put that up on the television screen for folks. Voiceoftheenvironment.org. In closing, you're still pushing to bring Bush to justice. I mean, that's one of the big things with Obama. He's not saying a peep. In fact, in his speech after he was sworn in, he turned to Bush and thanked him for the great job he'd done, which I thought was thoroughly disgusting after he talked about how evil Bush was and ran on Bush's crimes, only to flip-flop and wallow in all of them, and it seems to accelerate them. So your final comments on bringing Bush to justice and how that segues into, isn't that another big test of Obama? Will he do anything to anybody in the Bush administration, or will he protect them?
Well, you know, the question I have is how much political capital will Obama expend to stop an investigation and a prosecution? I mean, we're already seeing the beginnings of that with this whole issue around Karl Rove and Harriet Myers, and we found out that Fred Fielding, when he, you know, and I think it was on January 16th, just before the end of the Bush administration, wrote letters to Karl Rove's attorney and Harriet Myers' attorney, informing them that that they had full immunity in perpetuity for any you know, any prosecution for actions they had taken. So it looks as if Bush and his people are operating on this whole new theory, which has never really been tested in American history, that a president can continue. You know, it's almost like you know, exerting power from beyond the grave. I mean, here is someone who has no constitutional authority anymore, basically telling the government that you cannot touch people who served in my administration.
So in your words, is Obama already protecting Bush?
Go ahead. Excuse me?
Clearly, it looks like Obama is going to protect Bush.
I don't know. All I'm saying is that I don't think Obama will expend a lot of political capital to fight. You know, say if Congress comes up with a commission, which is what this guy Steve Cohn, who's a congressman from Memphis, Tennessee, is talking about. You know, they're going to file a bill, and they're going to try to set up a commission whose purpose is to investigate and perhaps prosecute the crimes of the Bush administration. We'll see how far that goes.
Absolutely.
I think it's worth looking at Steve Cohn, though. I saw him on TV last week, and I've got to say the guy's a straight shooter. And I don't think John Conyers, you know, it's going to come through the Judiciary Committee, and I don't see John Conyers stopping it.
All right, we're going to get Congressman Cohn on the show then if he'll do it. Congressman Dan Hamburg, thank you so much for all your time, and get better from that cold. We'll talk to you soon as this unfolds.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. All right, we'll be right back with your phone calls, a ton of news, and a lot more. We're simulcasting live. All right, let's go right back into this segment quick here, because I want to go to your phone calls here for the balance of this hour. And the whole next hour, I'm going to take a ton of your calls at 800-259-9231. And we're also going to cover some news I haven't detailed yet on several very, very serious issues. All right, first up, I want to tell you about preparedness. We believe in preparedness here, and one great place to check out is MySolarBackup.com. They have a great unit, an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right, it generates free electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in a blackout, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. The solar generator is like having a silent power plant hidden in your home. Take them up in Kentucky and other states, totally locked down. It's sunny days out there, but everything's covered with snow. They had a couple of these units that could run your whole house. But with one, you could heat at least one room, and that could save you. See, I mean, it's just important to have this type of stuff in these crazy times. Because once things completely break down, if they do, you won't be able to get these systems. It'll be very hard. 877-327-0365 is the toll-free number. MySolarBackup.com, 877-327-0365. A great unit. Also on the subject of preparedness, you could hook your little solar power system up to the Ecola Blue, and it runs off solar or right out of the wall, produces 7.5 gallons a day, about 3.5 gallons even in the driest climates. It's like 2% humidity here in this office, and it's still producing about 1.5 gallons a day. We got one here in the office. I mean, there's almost nothing in here, but it's getting it enough for us to all, you know, drink out of it. The other office, it would fill up every day, like 7 gallons. This one's so much bigger and dry for some reason. But side issue, here's the number. Ecola Blue, 800-691-6043, 6043 or the website at Ecola Blue, ecoloblue.com. Big fat banners up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And then it goes through seven internal filters after it grabs the air and then gets the water out of it. Just an amazing little system. Looks like a water cooler without the water bottle on the top. 800-691-6043, 800-691-6043, or Ecola. Okay, let's get in one call right now before this hour ends, and I'm going to go to everybody after that. Steve in California, you're on the air. Welcome.
God bless you, Alex. You're doing the Lord's work.
Thank you.
Hey, I just have 2 points of interest to make, if I can.
Sure.
First one is, you know, here in California, we're suffering a budget crisis, and I just wish that you know, more Californians would wake up and find out about the comprehensive annual financial reports that they have, that they force them to take their money out of their offshore bank accounts and balance the budget and not force us to pay any more taxes.
That's right. For those that don't know, the Pentagon that took over the U.S. in 47, now publicly taken over, they're the receiver arm for the foreign banks. They took the Chicago mob's model they'd had for decades called Chicago 1313. Where they took on average about 65%, now it's up to almost 80, it's like 67% on average nationally, and they take city, county, water district, school district money. It's put into a double set of books, not for pension investments, but separately, and then all they were talking about is the budget, instead of talking about the real set of books. And every county, city, state, every federal agency has one. And the bankers use that money to then buy up infrastructure, but now, so they don't have to pay the counties and cities the money back, they're bankrupting the shell corporations, these big banks, these big brokerage firms. They were the fronts telling the cities and counties, invest here, we'll pay off your politicians later. It's totally criminal, but it's totally legal. And no one will talk about it, but I made a film about it. But all the documents are public. Just Google Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and you can read it. And then they have to blow out all the big corporations. People see those falling. They think the elite's really in trouble. Just like Enron, they've already moved all the real assets and cash out the back door. It's the globalists. They're money laundering, drug dealing bankers who literally own the printing presses that issue the money. And you write your IRS check to them. It's to the Federal Reserve. Was that your point? Do you have one more?
I got one more.
One more. Straight ahead. When we come back. Fourth hour. Works is the global engineers, they're in control because they're smart. They're just totally ruthless and criminal. We're a bunch of naive sheep. What they do is they have unfunded mandates, federal laws on the states and the counties and the cities with regulations and control. That ups the huge budgets of the states. Then they get the states, the counties, the cities, every other governmental and quasi-governmental district to invest in offshore investments, and the lie was then they'll just take the profit from those and put them in budget, but they never do. Then the cities in the last few years, they started in Orange County, and then with the state investment fund about 5 years ago, they said, we want your money, and they said, you can't have it. And that's really one of the things that started things imploding, but that was by design. And now they're going to get the money out, and it's gone. Now that they're way over budget, they want some of the comprehensive annual financial report mafia, you know, books, and they're saying, it isn't there for you. You don't get it. Because the market's gone down. These companies are insolvent. The banks and brokerage firms and investment houses won't say how much money they've got. Government won't make them show it. They're the ones talking about more regulation to fix it, but they're the banks that are above regulation. They don't follow the same rules. They don't pay taxes. They do whatever they want. You can read news articles every day about top companies paying no taxes or 1% taxes. And no one enforces. Madoff, for decades they knew it was a Ponzi scheme. But he started the stock exchange, NASDAQ. So these guys don't play by the rules, folks. No one's looking at them. No one. This is their big heist. And the police state you see is to stop you from rightfully going and taking your government over through elections or physically and bringing them to justice. The only thing that can stop them is the people, and Northcom is here to stop the people. Northcom's here to destroy America and bring down the Republic. And I can bring Ron Paul on, I can bring Congressman Hamburg on, I can bring Senator Inhofe on here, I can bring them all on to tell you we're under Northcom martial law. And those top generals, you know, getting multi-million dollar golden parachutes when they retire, and defense contractors, You got all the low-level troops that think they're patriotic. It's a corporate takeover. You don't work for us anymore. I'm not your enemy. But let's not play games about who you're working for. Going back to Steve in California, I had one more question, then I'm going to everybody else.
Yeah, it was a point of interest I wanted to make. I don't know if you know this, but here in Southern California, we have the Magna Carta on display at the Ronald Reagan Library. And it kind of alarmed me when I found that out last month. You know, if the New World Order wanted to stage an attack, you know, for a pretext for many other actions.
I believe there's three copies of the Magna Carta, like there were 10 copies of the Declaration of Independence.
Right, but for symbolism, you know, state, if they wanted to stage an attack, you know, they could get rid of the document, destroy it, and, you know, have some kind of...
Yeah, for those that don't know, the Magna Carta is what the Bill of Rights and Constitution comes out of from 1215 and Runnymede. And the first thing Blair did when he got in office in 97, 96 was to say, I am getting rid of the Magna Carta. And the public was so dumbed down, you know, liquored up in England. I mean, they admit most alcoholic state in the world, just as decadent as the Americans. They're like, screw it, get rid of it. Now the police are on the street going, terrorism, if you photograph us. You're not allowed to videotape us beating somebody. We're going to charge you as a terrorist. Now they're busy stealing people's property. They have cameras in all the school's bathrooms as the children use the bathroom. That was in the news today, and the school said, what's the big deal? So we videotape your children, and now schools here in the U.S. putting cameras in bathrooms everywhere. That's 1984. Very interesting point about the Magna Carta. Very, very interesting. Oh, something else? Go ahead.
I just want to say, you're in my prayers, and keep fighting New World Order.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's only your prayers that keep us going here. Now that's why I dedicate so much time to this. Not because I'm even some wonderful good guy. I mean, I am a good guy overall, but I'm worldly as well. I am here doing this because I know that no matter what the risk to myself, the cost of doing nothing is too high to my family and my fellow humanity. Because I know what happens to others will happen to myself or my children or their great-grandchildren. And I just love humanity. I just like good guys, creative people. I love honorable people. I hate scum. I hate traitors. I hate bullies. And let me tell you, filthy, disgusting, criminal bullies are in control of our society. And they got a giant spin machine trying to cover for them. But it's not going to work if you stop them.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, going back to your calls. Steve had one more point he wanted to make. Go ahead and make it. Oh, he dropped off. Okay, Michael in North Carolina, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. I've got three short questions for you. The first question has to do with the economy. Real quickly, I'm a would-be federal government employee, a public planner, and I'm pretty seriously concerned with how community governments are being directed. For instance, it's hard for me to believe that... particularly people in government are so stupid that they can't predict the fall of the value of the dollar in the face of a lot of common sense analysis and prediction.
Hold on. They set the policies that did it. So of course they know it was going to happen. Yes.
That's what I'm seeing.
No, I mean they won't like
I'm seeing and yet I'm seeing a lot of people who deny that.
Well, I mean none of that's your opinion. They've written hundreds of white papers. The Federal Reserve's admitted they were doing this. I mean,
Yeah. So if there's an intentional aspect to this, and you and I probably agree that there is, why would the various banks that own the Federal Reserve deflate the value of the dollar? That's my first question.
Okay. You know what? Just give me all your questions, and I'll let you go and try to answer them, because it could take I want to try to move quickly today, but this is a very important why deflate? Okay, what's the next one?
Fair enough. As an analog to Irving Fisher's stamp script would be, I think, an antidote to any fractional reserve banking system's constriction of credit. So the second question has to do with how such a system would be implemented, how you think such a system would be implemented. And the third question has to do with the people who are responsible for what we're in. When considering the history of Bolshevism and the Communist Manifesto, when considering the protocols of the Elders of Zion, when considering Harold Rosenthal's interview and many other documents, what do you think the relationship between Zionism and the world and the New World Order is? Do you think Zionism is a genuine racist movement? And really, that's about all I have.
Okay, that's three huge questions. Why would the private Federal Reserve that controls the United States and gets to milk it, and where American taxpayers pay their money, the private Federal Reserve, why would they kill the goose that laid the golden eggs? Because they're internationalists, because the Federal Reserve has stock held in it by international groups and private families. That's on record. And so they must sacrifice the United States on the altar of globalism to bring in the new system. What did the Wall Street Journal last week with that headline about the New World Order's here, North American Union? They said, oh, this is the answer to fix the crisis. You're not going to have a good economy. You're not going to have a job and food on the table and clothes for your children and a car to drive to work and no vacations, no life, basically, depression, unless you do what we say. And that is all these different private central banks owned by the same families are now merging into one global bank that will set taxes, regulations, carbon taxes, micromanaging every part of your life. So they've answered it for you. They said decades ago in the Trilateral Commission documents in the 70s that we've covered ad nauseum that they would implode the economy around 2005, they're a few years behind, and merge the American Union, the Asian Union, the European Union together. Those agreements are already all been signed. We're already in an American Union, already merging with the European Union as of 2 years ago. I have Bush on the White House lawn saying it with the leader of the European Union and Merkel, the head of Germany. And we have the judicial watch documents through Fourier. We're in it. And the public's just now being told by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times that, oh, yeah, it is a North American Union. That'll fix the crisis. So, see, they always get us four or five steps ahead and then tell us about a step, five, six steps behind. That's how they do this. You know, they build the camps, then they introduce legislation. Oh, we're going to legalize camps and have the local police under it and the local clergy. I said I was going to blitz through phone calls, but these questions are so important, it's hard to not answer them all. Then you talked about what type of money system should we have if we remove the fractional reserve banking fraud of the international bankers, which they're not even doing fractional reserve banking now. They just do whatever they want. And that answers your first question. They've created unlimited capital, thousands of trillions over the last few decades in European and U.S. money. They have bought up real assets with it, knowing it would later devalue the money. They've held that off, and now that phase is coming. So that's what's happening there. What type of system should we have? If we had a good government, if the people were involved and educated about fractional reserve banking and educated about paper script, it really does grease the skids of the economy. It's just going to be used and abused and will always be abused. And so it's a very dangerous system. Set currencies of silver or gold or tally sticks or seashells or wampum, glass beads, whatever people have used throughout history, salt, sugar, spices, frankincense and myrrh, that can all be misused and cornered. People always go in history when that happens and buy up the key distribution of that, the key production of those things, and then they manipulate that. So that's a problem as well. But it's better than a fiat system run by the elites. Could we have a fiat system run by the government? I tend to lean towards that and disagree with Ron Paul and the Austrian School of Economics about their goldback system because we're so deep into this that we'd have to extricate ourselves. And Ron Paul has said it would take some time. So I think a hybrid of the two systems, and I think competing monetary systems are the answer. So perhaps we can have a script system, a private script system, or group of script systems, and then a group, and then a government system, and then at the same time have a barter system, you know, with gold and silver that would be done also off of script. Then you're back to the goldsmiths who would only have so much gold in their vault than issuing too much script and then buying off politicians with their undue capital that's really fiat. And on the subject of Zionism, you know, we have guests on here to talk about what Zionism is. And Zionism isn't a criticism of Jews themselves. Zionism is a political ideology very similar to what Hitler said, the white supremacists say, or what the Black Israelite movement says. I mean, every group, Japan has a group that says they're the master race and everybody else is scum. And it says that everybody else are basically animals who can be killed and destroyed at will. And it's a horrible political system, certainly for the Palestinians in and around Israel. And so I am in opposition to that apartheid type system. I think it's very hypocritical that Israel can do things that's way worse than what South Africa did, and it's A-OK with the media, but then what South Africa did was bad. No, it's both equally bad. And this is the thing. Humans do this to humans. You know, Europeans, before they took over Africa, they had slave Europeans. And then as soon as they revolted, they said, well, we'll just grab these people as slaves. And they had black folks there selling them, you know, because blacks had black. Humans enslave each other. And we have to come to the realization of that system throughout history and expose it. I mean, what's the drug war? Millions and millions of nonviolent marijuana smokers staying in prison longer than violent offenders. Why? Because a marijuana smoker is a good worker. You know, they're not on pot. They're not stoned. They're not crunking, as Paul Hartman would say. And and so it's slavery. It's slavery legalized. But I also don't like to bash Israel too much, because I don't want to be in association with all the other tribal groups that make up exaggerated stuff about Israel, go crazy about Israel, hate all Jews, you know, make it a big thing. I don't like all this tribalism, all this racism, whatever you want to call it. Now, I just spent 10 minutes with one caller. I've got to somehow get to more callers here. But Michael in North Carolina, you're on the air. Welcome.
I really enjoyed your speech.
What speech was that?
The speech that you were just talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Your three questions. I can't say I disagreed with anything that you said in particular. I would like you to talk a little bit more about Irving Fisher's stamp script, but that's about it.
You know, I have read about that. I'm familiar with it, but I'm not that big an expert on it. Why don't you explain it to folks?
Okay, Irving Fisher's stamp script had to do with getting to the fundament of what is money. And what is money has to do with labor. It doesn't have to do with the value of gold. It doesn't have to do with the value of silver or any other precious metal. It doesn't have to do with the value of land. It has to do with the value of labor and how you put value on that and how you trade value for that in small communities.
Yes, and then getting local scripts, which everybody agrees upon, and then there's a known amount that's out there, and it's just an agreed-upon mode of exchange for your labor, for your time, for your energy. And that's why I'm saying we need local currencies competing with regional currencies, competing with national currencies, competing with international currencies. That way, elites can't corner the market. It's a separation of powers within the entire monetary scheme. It is a liberalization of the symbols of credit. And that's what we need. We need liberation in the money system. But the average public, that's why we're enslaved. It's like, well, what's, you know, money? I want money. You can show somebody a big wad of $100 bills, and they'll just get all excited. Oh. And all this is something that was just printed up. The Federal Reserve orders it printed by the private, by the governmental treasury, and then it's issued. But that's less than 1% now of physical, real money in circulation. It's all just zeros and ones in a computer. The bank just says you got $10,000 or $5,000 or $100 or a million, whatever it is, in the bank. It's just zeros and ones. But by you going and depositing your little paper check in there, they loan out 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times all the real physical money they've got in there, leveraged. And so what does a bank really want? It wants you to go bankrupt, because it doesn't care about the fake zeros and ones in its computer. It wants your house. It wants your company. It wants to set up a depression so everybody collapses. That's why they issue all this credit, because they control it, so that their false credit bubble of debt can implode and take over the entire economy with it. All right, more calls straight ahead, right here on the one, the only, GCN Radio Network. Let's try to get through some of these calls. Who's up next here, John? Joe in Chicago. You're on the air, Joe. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, Alex?
Good, sir.
Well, you know what? It's kind of funny, the barrage of phone calls that you're getting from Illinois and the Chicago area ever since good old Blagojevich, this whole scandal came.
Well, we've
came
always past. Gotten a lot of calls from Illinois, but yeah, we've been getting even more, I've noticed.
Yeah, and I do have to say one thing about this guy. I mean, there was a commentator, political commentator on WGN News that basically said this whole thing. He's like, it's basically the whole impeachment panel was like it was like a bunch of flies hanging on a wall, all blaming one fly for having dirty feet. Okay.
Yeah, but you can't accept the fact that they've all got dirty feet, but you don't kick them out.
That is true. That is true. But one thing that that I saw that was really interesting, the evening that he got back, I believe it was like last Tuesday or something like that, when after he got impeached, and they had a kind of impromptu media conference out in, you know, by his front door, and he was talking about how, you know, basically his rights were violated as far as him not being able to bring forth any witness.
That's right, and the Senate lied and said we used the Bill Clinton rules, and Bill Clinton wasn't allowed to bring witnesses. Funny, I remember Bill Clinton brought a bunch of them, including Vernon Jordan. So they are lying about the fact that, it's normal to not allow people to call witnesses. And so definitely it's a corrupt system sacrificing him for some reason. And I don't know if that's the Bush administration blackmailing Obama, because Blagojevich came up with him under the control of, Blagojevich was a congressman formerly too. So he's always worked with Rahm Emanuel, who's as dirty as they come. So, I mean, we don't know the full extent of this, but in the final equation, it's a diversion and a distraction to begin with. I mean, sure, Elliot Spitzer starts going after Bank of America and others for scams they're running, and suddenly, you know, his one impropriety with hookers, he was under FBI surveillance the whole time. They're all under surveillance. The British Parliament's under surveillance. They're arresting members of Parliament now when they leak information about government corruption. Because the intelligence agencies that work for the big banks, they are the real government. And so this slapping governors around and congressmen around, and they're going after Rangel right now and everybody else, that's about the real government, the military-industrial complex, letting everybody know in line, we don't care how powerful you are, we'll crush you whenever we want. Even if you've got dirt on us, our media won't let that come out. And you don't get a fair trial, you understand?
Right, right, exactly.
No, I mean, it's bad.
And the thing that's really interesting about it is, which kind of hit home, I mean, even though, he is a pseudo scumbag, to begin with, but the thing that was really interesting that he said in his speech, which, he was getting kind of teary-eyed and stuff like that, but the one thing that he did say is he talked about, his First Amendment rights, he talked about all of his rights to be able to speak about this, and he says, if you think that they would do this to a governor, what do you think that they would do to you, the ordinary citizen?
He's like,
I am also fighting for your rights.
I hear you. I appreciate your call. Yeah, it's bad. The reason I don't care if they destroy him, even if they're violating his rights, I mean, I am against that. But and I certainly want him to be able to call witnesses, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to cry tears for Blagojevich. The guy 3 months ago said he's calling out the National Guard for door-to-door gun confiscation in Illinois. He's evil, folks. He's evil. Tommy in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead, Tommy.
Alex.
Hello.
Alex. Hey.
Hey.
Okay. Hey, I got a couple questions for you here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, brother.
All right. So I don't really see people standing up against this whole New World Order thing because from what I've come across on the internet these days, it's like people are just, they're just arguing with each other.
Yeah, they're trying to be slaves, yeah.
Yeah, and they claim they're, anti-New World Order, I'm going to change this, and, they've run out of things to really talk about, and
they mainly talk about me.
Exactly. They talk about me more than they talk about Obama.
I mean, which actually only helps me. I love the fact they spend their energy attacking me everywhere. people just remember my name and go check it out. That's the big dirty secret, is that I actually love it. I mean, it's all a bunch of baloney anyways. It's not true. None of it sticks. So I'm going to let them make up whatever malarkey they want. Let me comment on that when we come back. Anything else you want to add, sir?
Yeah, I'll stick around.
Well, just go ahead and add it now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, yes. I guess that's it, Alex. I appreciate
all right.
it.
Good to hear from you. I'm going to comment on what you had to say when we come back, okay? This is key information straight ahead after this quick break. We'll be back in three.
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Oh, Smokey,
keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
All right.
Eastbound and down.
To answer that last caller's question.
Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long
way. I will do that, and then we will go back to your phone calls and some economic news that I haven't covered yet. But first, I like this one little part coming up. No, I don't have time to play the song. Old Smokey's got his ears on. He's hot on your tail, and he ain't going to rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him, you got to duck him. You got to keep that diesel trucking. So let that hammer down and give it hell. All right. Little Alex Jones karaoke torture for everybody. You know, so what? I would talk about this type of news 13 years ago, and most people would laugh at me. And then about 10 years ago, about half people would laugh at me. And then about 3 years ago, 10% of people laugh at me. And now I do radio talk shows every week where people are attacking me. The host is attacking me, and every single caller calls in and agrees. And the host gets mad. Canada, England, the United States. Period. So let people continue to attack. They've all been proven wrong. Everything we've talked about has happened. And I say unfortunately, because I wish we could have turned all this around. I wish I wasn't right about all this, but I was reading RAND Corporation documents, CFR documents, declassified CIA documents. That's what I do. And so I know what was going to happen, so I've been proven right. So my stock goes up, mainstream media stock goes down, and it goes for the entire alternative media. There's a lot of bull out there in alternative media as well, but people learn what to trust and what not to trust. People know the government's out there with disinfo on the internet now, attacking people. That's now admitted. Wasn't before, now it's admitted. My stock goes up again, I told people. Pentagon admits they go after me. They show 9/11 truth groups in Congress saying these are terrorists. We've got to shut down the web because of them. People hear that and just come and check us out even more. So fortune does favor the bold, and the fortune we're looking for is liberty and freedom. And as things get darker and darker and more serious, folks are going to wake up. So understand something. It was about 2%. That started the Revolutionary War against the British because of their abuses in 1775. And then it kicked off officially in 1776. And only 5% were involved for the entire war against the British. The majority of people were Tories. They were for the system. George Washington just wasn't fighting the British, the greatest army ever in the world, never been defeated in ground fights. He was fighting the people who were mainly British, who wanted to go along as cowards. Now, by the time they started winning 7 years in, around 20% of the public then started saying they were for it. Guess what happened to hundreds of thousands of people who've been prominent for the British? They were very nice. The founders let them sell their property for value, gave them a year to get out and said, go to Canada or go to England, get out of here. Leave or we're going to hang you. Because they'd engage in all sorts of atrocities, killing people, murdering. Stuff you see in that movie, The Patriots, a true story, burning them up in the church. They did that all over the place. Concentration camps, you name it. So we've got more than 5% here in the info war. And we don't want it to become physical. But if we have to defend ourselves, that's the way it is. We've got 5% of the public. We've got probably 10% that really knows what's going on. Just a lot of them are scared and aren't in the fight yet. If you look at the abolitionist movement in 1800, you can go pull these numbers up, less than 2% of the British population were abolitionists, less than 2% of the American population here in the United States. 2%! Go forward 60-something years, and they were now the majority in the South, the majority in the North, and the minority in the South. But the point is only, what, 3% of people in the South owned slaves. That was a minority. They were the only ones at the end that were actually for it. But you're talking about the vast minority just 60-something years later who were for slavery, and it was outlawed with the Emancipation Proclamation. So you can look at that 2% in the North in 1800 and people laughing at them, people saying they were idiots, they had no power, they weren't. It was a joke, they were fools. But you saw England outlaw slavery, you saw Latin America, the countries down there outlawed by the 1830s and 40s, depending on the nation. You see Mexico outlaw slavery. You see slavery being outlawed all over the world. You saw slavery being outlawed in areas of Asia separately. You know, that was Asians with Asian slaves. They call it the caste system. Where do you still have slavery today? India. Only place, and it's the color of your skin. It's a caste system. Because Europeans, about 4,000 years ago, came into northern India, and they set up a caste system there. That's what groups always do to each other. They've got caste systems in Africa, where one tribe that's bigger has the other. That's how humans, when they get out of control, operate. So people can sit here all day and say, oh, you're not going to do anything, Alex. You're not going to affect change. Bull. I'm just one person in this fight. I'm just one little piece of the fight against corruption and tyranny. And I know that as you wake up others and as the enemy squeezes tighter and tighter, we have the moral ground. I don't care how much propaganda the establishment has, how much spin they've got. The police running around in black uniforms, tasering people, and cameras in schoolrooms and bathrooms is tyranny, is wrong. And private offshore banks looting the country and setting up tyranny is wrong. And it's going to fall. The question is, how far will the tyranny get before it falls? And so just saying nobody's going to do anything, people are doing things. People are doing a lot. We'd be in a lot worse situation right now if people hadn't stood up to tyranny and hadn't warned folks. What if people 10, 15, 20 years ago talking about the New World Order hadn't done what they did? We wouldn't have all this credibility right now. But we told everybody it was going to happen. We were right. The enemy moved forward, and now people are listening. So it's up to us now as we see everything unfolding, not to whine and complain and bitch about it, but to say, okay, we were right. Let's do something about it. To all the people on the fence, okay, you didn't believe FEMA camps were real? Here it is in a bunch of newspapers. Okay, you didn't believe that the WMDs were staged? Well, now it's admitted. Okay, well, you didn't believe that a Barack Obama was going to keep the secret arrest and torture going? Here's his own executive order. You don't believe the mainstream media is lying? They told you he got rid of this. Here's WhiteHouse.gov. Here it is. He didn't do that. He lied to you. Now, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to say about that? And there's thousands of other issues, and I can rant all day about it. So, look, keep the attacks going. Keep lying about me. Keep doing everything you're doing. Just spell my name right. It's Alexjones, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Just keep attacking. Just keep it going. Please, I want you to intensify it more, 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 more. Give me more. Because all your curses and all your attacks are just blessings to me in the end. God just turns it right around and turns it into something good. So just please, if you strike me down, and I don't want that to happen because I got work to do, but even if they strike me down, that just gets bigger. What did Thomas Jefferson say? The tree of liberty must be nourished from time to time, must be fed, must be watered. The tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. So understand that, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they probably won't kill me. They'll destroy me in the media. But there's not much to go after me on. I'm a pretty boring guy. So they'll try to manufacture stuff. That doesn't work anymore. People know they're a pack of liars. Look at Blagojevich, a complete open criminal, and people are defending him because they know he's the underdog. They know the system's so corrupt that even though that guy's corrupt, he must have done something against them. The system is shot, folks. It's got to be reworked. It's got to be recreated. Real change, not phony Obamanoid change. Obama! Obama! Bush! You got all these neocons now, all these super right-wing people saying, I like Obama. Yeah, he's starting new wars, encircling Russia, setting up a police state. They love him. Pat Robertson's endorsed him. What does that tell you out there? That means they're making their move with this guy. And so am I going to wimp out and wait till people wake up to him to attack him and go after him politically? No. I'm stepping right up to the president. They know that I've produced some of the most viral videos in history, hundreds of millions of views online. They'll probably try all kinds of crap. We've had all sorts of stuff going on. Good. I'm here to fight the New World Order. I'm not here to suck my thumb and play games. I'm here to go toe-to-toe, 110%, and they may kick my butt in the ring. But I'm here in the ring, and you better believe this. You attack my liberty. You attack my freedom. You attack my country. You attack my family. I'm going to fight back. And you may beat me, but you better believe I'm going to keep swinging all the way. And I kick like a mule, and I bite like a crocodile. And so do the American people. So we need to come together against the New World Order and stop forgetting race, religion, and all the stuff we fight about. We need to agree on liberty and freedom and the destruction of tyranny in the New World Order. Let's go ahead and talk to who's up next here. Annie in New York.
Hello, Alex.
Hi, Annie.
I think you're wonderful. I was working the night that you were you went after Geraldo, and I worked in the McGraw-Hill building, and I watched that whole thing. It was quite amazing.
Did you watch it out the window?
Yeah. I was working.
300 demonstrators taking over their live broadcast. That was beautiful.
It was great. It was wonderful. But I wanted to ask you a couple of things. I mean, it's so difficult for people. I'm one of eight, you know, children. I'm a baby boomer. But, you know, I've been following this stuff. I used to work for FEMA and following this stuff for years. And thank God got, you know, acquainted with you and your site. The problem is trying to convince people who you know, people who you share values with, and they're intelligent people. They work for universities and major corporations, but they just won't come and see the light, and I just get scared that this might be the make or break year, 2009.
That's because subconsciously they know it's true. They're afraid. So they go, no, everything's fine. No, everything. I don't want to hear it. I mean, I've seen people, I've had family, cousins and people over, and I've tried to give them a DVD, and they act like it's a snake. You know why? Because they know it's real. But go ahead.
I appreciate that point of view, because when I tried to get people to watch Loose Change, it was almost like they were little kids and they were breaking one of the church commandments, and they were going to get caught. They were so afraid, but they did watch it.
Well, that's a good way to get our material out, because it is avant-garde. It is cutting edge. It is underground. It is dangerous. You tell them, this is a super suppressed video, which it is. They're trying to erase them and shut down Endgame, Terror Storm, all these powerful films. And you tell them, oh, this is hardcore. And they'll run home and, you know. Anything
well,
else?
Curtains.
But, absolutely.
You know, it would be helpful if one of your writers... You know, like the five steps of grieving? There's also a process like that akin with coming to grips with what the heck is going on. You know, and anger, I feel a lot of anger. I'm over the shock between your stuff and crossing the Rubicon, and I really like that new site that you, the August review, that was very helpful. But it would be great if somebody could put together, you know, the steps of not grieving, but coming to grips with horrible.
Ma'am, we're trying to expand. We've got three writers that are full-time, a couple that are part-time, and some folks that are guest contributors that we appreciate. We're trying to expand, and we're doing it while everything's imploding. So, yes, we're trying to do that. We're going to add a lot. In the next few months, people are going to see it. Instead of two films a year, three, four films a year. More. Well, just wait. You're going to see some new things happening here. And anything else you want to add?
I wonder if you think that peak oil will play any role in putting the, you know, kibosh to their the global movement. I mean,
it's contrary. You know, when you mentioned Rupert, he would talk about 98% accurate, and they would add some things. You know, Rupert called for population reduction, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he wrote that and has given speeches on it, and he kind of, you know, he's retired, I guess, to put it lightly these days. Peak oil is actually, they want to reduce resources to control the population, but certainly, well, let's just put it this way. Peak oil is one area that I think you should look at the alternatives on and research, okay? Good to hear from you, though. Great to have you on board with us as a listener. I'm going to come back. Well, I'm going to plug these sponsors, then I'm going to go to some more of your calls. Then I do have some economic news I want to hit. All these top economists are talking about we are already in a depression, even The Economist magazine, which is as prestigious as it gets. I mean, it's economists that write it. It's kind of a prestigious internal journal that's sold on newsstands. I mean, these are actual white papers, you know, that are in it. And they're saying that and I got a few other economic stories I wanted to hit on. But before I do that, I had one more sponsor that I wanted to tell folks about that is making this show possible. Plus, they're just great folks, and that's eFoodsDirect.com, the J. Michael Stevens Group. The website is just the letter E, foodsdirect.com. And they have a deal going, I'm told, just a few more weeks where you can get a sampler pack. It's a three-day responder kit is what it's called. It's large servings for one person for 3 days for $21 of high-quality, non-GMO food. And just try it. It's the three-day responder, three-day one-adult food supply for only $21.95. Give. And this is at cost, by the way. They're doing this as a promotion. And then decide to get a year supply or six-month supply. They have a boogie pack, one-month supply for an adult that just is in a box about this big that just fits in your trunk. So, again, eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. They have a lot of great videos and material as well for free on their website about the products. They're the longest continually operating. They're the biggest horrible foods company. They're the folks I trust, eFoodsDirect.com. They're patriots like us. Okay, let's go ahead and go to another phone call here. Let's go ahead and talk to Ronnie in Texas. Ronnie, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you, sir, Alex. Help support our troops. Decriminalize medicinal marijuana because many of our brave troops experience traumatic brain injuries, TBIs, from IEDs.
And all the studies of major medical institutions, not the marijuana lobby, the ragtag lobby, but major studies say it is great for brain trauma, great for PTSD. They've done placebo tests with Prozac and sugar pill, and Prozac is actually bad for PTSD, but they put them on it when marijuana helps them. And I totally agree with you. And again, I'm not a marijuana guy. I mean, I've smoked marijuana before, and every few years I'll be at an event or something. I go, okay, and then I go, oh, now I remember why I don't smoke this. You know, I don't like this. But I really think that I agree with you.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is now is the time for our returning troops to have medicinal marijuana because it's at least an option to help from their recovery from TBIs. And it's so crucial. I mean, everybody wants to help our troops. And there's the reason I think that we're going to put this medicinal marijuana issue over the line because who doesn't want to help our troops?
And well, you know why glaucoma is pressure in the eye, inflammation inside that makes you go blind. It's the number one treatment now, the most effective THC drops in the eye.
Right.
And my grandmother even had glaucoma, and they gave her those drops, and it worked for her. And so why is that? The eyes are part of the brain. They grow out in the embryonic development, and a lot of times the person also has inflammation in the brain from MSG, aspartame, fluoride, things in the water. And that's why with brain injuries, some brain injuries, not all of them, they found with marijuana is good because it does reduce brain inflammation, swelling, just like it does for the eye. And so I guess you've done your research that, yes, marijuana is medicinal with brain swelling and inflammation.
I know from my own experience, but distilled cannabis essential oil has been found to be a cure-all for many ailments.
And there are few plants that you can really call wondrous. And none of them stand above, not the plant they get Bayer aspirin out of, not Malaluga, or not...
nothing compares.
The aloe vera plant. Marijuana is, I've seen all the studies, it's just an absolutely fantastic thing, and that's why it's banned in this country. Because the globalists don't want you having access to real health care. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Okay, I know we got loaded phone lines. Gunther, Bill, Josh, many others. I'll have to get to you tomorrow. I got some final news I need to hit. And then rebroadcast is coming up. By the way, we do have Professor Griff of Public Enemy on Thursday. So that is coming up Thursday. That guy, he's on the road right now and listening. I want to say hi to Professor Griff. That's going to be interesting. Any other big hip-hop folks want to call us, come on the show and talk about Obama and the New World Order, just email Aaron at Infowars.com. Two ways, we'd love to have you. Any other rock and roll folks, Hollywood people, they call, a lot of them call me all the time, but they're just scared to come on. They just want to touch base, say they appreciate what we're doing. But it helps to have a lot of people from every genre on because that just expands it. Now, worst January on record for stocks. That's out of the Wall Street Journal. GM to use bailout billion to invest in Brazil. They're going to use the money to build an automaker in Brazil. So they're going to use the money to move overseas. And I saw another one of the companies is going to use the money to, it was GM too, to move to Mexico. So we're just paying for them to move. See, the government's so corrupt, anything they do isn't going to turn to good. And it's a diversion. $50 billion to the automakers, that's nothing. Or $850 billion for a new stimulus package, $255,000 per job to create a job. Those are going to be government jobs and control freak jobs and things they control. We're in trouble, folks, because these people are stealing it all. And everybody's scared in the crisis that the bankers created, so they're like, okay, go ahead and do it. Actually, a lot of folks were against it, the vast majority against the bailout, but it still happened. But I wanted to bring Ted Anderson up right here at the end of the show, because, Ted, we can't count on the government. We know it's going down. Gold's shot up way over 900. And I talked to you this morning as I was out of town. You're telling me you're still offering prices from over a week ago, but the buys you made at gold at the 835 level or 830 level, that will be gone soon. So, and then you're going to have to up price. You have to buy more gold. So people are getting it. You know, the gold, it was $70, $80, $90 less than it is right now. That priced into the price of this gold when most places don't even have it. So I wanted to give folks an opportunity to get into something that has real tangible assets as they're devaluing the dollar. So specifically, what are the coins you've got, and is this the last time you'll be able to give this offer?
Right on the target here. And if gold continues to rise, obviously I can't do it. I'll hold it till midnight tonight. But I do have the franc currently right now at 217. I repriced them. Currently right now they'd be 228. The British sovereign presently right now is at 265, and in today's market it's 279. I just completely sold out of the Buffaloes. The silver dimes are still available, but the walking Liberty halves are gone. The silver dimes right now are at $1.46. Plain old silver dollars shot up over $20 a piece, so you can't get those anymore. That Creature from Jekyll Island book, I do put them in there, and that's $26.45. We have a lot of really good deals. Alex, this gold and silver market's going nuts right now. A lot of people want to get in. Really good news. People are calling me from the Creature from Jekyll Island book, from Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh like crazy. I was thinking that they want answers. It's really refreshing to know that that is exactly what they're looking for. And I'm going to give it to them, and I'm going to bring them over and have them start.
Okay, so you're still selling a $25 book for $25 with a silver dollar that's selling for $22 on the market, and then you're doing the shipping too. So you're talking a $60 plus value for 26 something?
Yeah, right. I mean, now that the silver dollars have gone up, it is. It's just poking up there right around $60. That's
a loss leader. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. You have francs. You have British sovereigns. You have dimes and silver at the price that you were giving with how much is that? How much has the market gone up from that price?
Well, it's gone up about $100, like you say, and the silver, obviously, not $100, but certainly if you put a percentage on it, it's about 10% or better. So
things have gone up 10%. You're giving them an offer priced in 10% lower than the market when most places are completely sold out. You're starting to sell out. Folks, give the brokers a call. They'll be there till midnight with this deal. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Now, for AM and FM stations, we'll see you back tomorrow. If everybody else, retransmission starts now. One place, InfoWars.com. Take care.